please, Adele.
Okay. I'm ready to talk about that.
I promise I won't say a word until you're ready to talk about it.
Okay, stop it, please.
Okay.
Is Tom Shales ready to come on the show? Because I don't want to get into the middle of talking about the fireplace problems we have. and then have Roy Hill come running in as soon as I'm in the middle of something good. Right. Say, hey, Tom Shales is on telephone.
Tom Shales did a great job. He did not disappoint regarding his review of Kathy Lee's Christmas special.
No, and you know what I noticed? When I read this, first thing in today's Washington Post, Tom Shales, a Pulitzer Prize winner, and this whole big thing about Kathy Lee, not so much that he wrote specifically about how bad her Christmas special was.
Right.
It's just like a chance for him to generically run her into the ground.
Yeah. False piety. That's a word that he's, it's a term that he's used before. The phony piety. That's exactly what it is with it. You know, there he goes again. You know, not they're not $100 words. They're easy words, but man.
No, listen. Here, listen to this. You know, what do we say about it? We say that she's a pretentious bitch. She's a phony.
That's correct. Yeah.
He writes she's tepid, torpid, and trippy. Wow. Hey, that's, you know what I mean? That's a Pulitzer Prize winner right there.
False piety, fake sentiment, and aerobic grinning.
Is this Tommy? If this is Tom, I'm going to be very happy. Then the show will be starting off on a good note this week. Hello? Tom Shales?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
There it is.
Tom Shales, first off.
We don't even screen you now, Tom. We're so excited about the column you wrote.
Let me simply...
You mean I'm on the air?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're on the air, Tom.
On the radio?
On the radio, live.
You're on the radio. And
on the radio, okay.
We are here for our annual kiss-ass feast with you because you outdid yourself. This year's... No. Now, listen. This year, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, I thought more than just being a point-by-point attack on Kathy C's Christmas special. This year, it was kind of generic about her show.
Just generic Kathy Lee bashing a little bit.
And moreover, just your chance to take 1,000 or so words and just run her into the ground. I thought it was a beautiful column. Were you not happy with it?
No, but if you are, I am, I guess.
We're delighted. I mean, well, the first paragraph right there, you got us. We know what's coming. It's fantastic.
Well, listen, you know, we set this up on Friday when Tom was gracious enough to come on the air, and he hadn't seen the TV special yet.
Yep.
Tom, I will tell you this, that my wife and I, we could only stand to watch the first 5 minutes of it. We had to change the channel. Did you actually watch the entire thing?
I watched the whole thing and taped it, and now the tape is being buried like nuclear waste in the outermost reaches of Upper Marlboro.
Well, this is Tom Shales, Washington Post. And how many newspapers did this review go to today, Tom?
Well, it'll go to about 100 in a slightly edited form.
There you go.
After the lawyers get through with it. No, there's nothing litigable in it.
All right. Let me give you just a couple of highlights. I got some Christmas music going here.
Oh, my Mannheim Steamroller to accentuate things.
And I'd like to point out that these are my feelings. I am not an educated man like Tom Shales. You know, I just say she's a phony.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand her. Tom, these big words, you kill me. Fantastic. Here's the headline, which I don't think Tom writes.
No.
It says, Kathy Lee Bah Humbug. What's the difference between the 24-hour flu and a Kathy Lee Gifford Christmas special? 23 hours!
That's what I said about the first paragraph. It was great.
You could have really stopped there, I think.
Oh, it was. I said you could have, and you would have crystallized it.
You wouldn't want to catch either one if you could help it. But when CBS refused to make this year's edition of the agonizing event available in advance of TV critics, one such critic, instead of being grateful for the unintentional kindness, was tempted to tune in anyway to see how or if things have improved. He should have known better. Big mistake. The special had more aura de horror than Holiday Glow and proved punishingly similar to previous efforts. In other words, it might have been called I Saw What You Did Last Christmas and the one before that. Now, tell me something, Tom. I'm going to break in here for a second. This beginning part?
Yes.
Is this wrong? Off the top of your head, you just sit down on your laptop and start typing this?
Off the lap, top of my lap, yeah. What did you say? Yes, whatever you said.
I mean,
no, it's right from the heart, though, too.
There's a
top
passion.
Of my heart and the top of my head.
You know, Mike, that's what I wanted to know. Is this... This is easy for you to write because
it's passion.
It's what you really think, right?
Well, plus she's a pretty easy target. I mean, you know, she doesn't... she never learns from her mistakes, and she keeps plugging away there. And maybe she got good ratings. Honestly, I don't know yet.
You know, I should tell you, though, and one of the things that's refreshing about a column like this is, you know, she is an easy target, but this is a woman who in many, many publications across the fruited plain is deified. You go into the supermarkets and you can't pick up a magazine, Good Housekeeping, Red Book, where they don't say
she's all over
the struggle of Kathy Lee and her wonderful triumph. And so this is just, you know, it's nice to see a little balance.
Just desserts. Okay, let's get back to
it. Oh, I'm sorry, but, you know, you guys egg me on, but I'll get lots of hate mail on this. I'll sort of forward it over there.
Oh, yeah. You know what, Tom? If you'll send your hate mail to us, I promise we'll read it on the air. Every single one.
Okay.
The actual title for this year's Exercise in False Piety, Fake Sentiments and Aerobic Grinning with Kathy Lee Gifford, Christmas Every Day, an appalling prospect any way you look at it. This is the kind of TV to be watched, not from the couch, as it were, but while peering out from behind us and using it as a shield, as if perhaps an air raid or some other sort of massive bombing were in progress. You try to give it your wholehearted attention, but that... See Tom Shales, see seven. Hold up. But that isn't easy with a half-hearted production. Gifford does, of course, give the impression of throwing herself into the project. With a vengeance, some might say. And yet there's always the sense of the cut rate of the show. You're fantastic. You find every way to cut her down, babe. This year's version, which aired at 10 p.m. Friday on CBS, an odd hour for a family-oriented show, was taped in Beaver Creek, Colorado, featuring the U.S. Air Force Academy Cadet Choral and the Denver Young Artists Orchestra as Gifford's accompaniment. What do these two groups have in common? They work cheap.
Yeah.
They're composed of amateur or semi-pro musicians who probably do not have union cards. Yeah, I'm going to stop it there to give you a tip of the hat. I never would have thought to come at her like that. That's beautiful, Tom. That's...
Yep.
Well, you know, I suspect CBS pays her a large fee to produce the special. Anything she doesn't spend, she keeps. So
yeah, no,
I think that's why we get these amateur musicians from the Air Force Academy.
And I think we read between the lines, and I think you have crystallized it once again. You've identified the lust of money that this woman has.
All right, now we're going to get to the good stuff here.
The real meaning of Christmas.
Sure. The cast also included, naturally, Gifford's two children. The fidgety but cute little girl, Cassidy, five.
One of the few nice things you write in the column, yeah. Tom.
She even wrote that she's fidgety, though.
That's right. I had to put fidgety in there.
Yeah, she's fidgety.
Kids are fidgety.
Hardly got to say one word. And the brightly polished Cody, eight, who was reluctant to shut up during a session of questions from the Bible about, yes, the real meaning of Christmas. There's nothing like being lectured about the real meaning of Christmas by a heavily coiffed legacy diva wearing a bare-shouldered black evening gown and braying into a handheld microphone. The gift, yes, Pam Tillis, accurately to Gifford, you are bad. Look at you.
Yes, she is.
Tillis's face bears at least a slight resemblance to Hillary Rodham Clinton's. An appropriate name to drop since both Gifford and Clinton have suffered the public embarrassment of hubbies who famously philandered.
You got it in there, Tom. Way to go. I didn't know how you'd get it in there, but you got it in there. Bravo.
Way to go. But wait, hold on. We're getting up to... Every year I wonder, how is Tom Shales going to describe the appearance of Frank Gifford? And it's coming up. Here we go. Hubbies who have famously philandered. Gifford's husband, Frank, rolled out onto the stage in his usual quasi-mummified state, was videotaped in a hotel room with a 46-year-old former flight attendant in 97. He's sported a sappy sheepishness ever since. Beautifully done. Now, we are to believe Frank's been forgiven and the marriage is stronger than ever. Or at least Kathy Lee is stronger than ever. She looks like she could bench press a horse. The woman is tough. The woman's got grit. When Kathy Lee attacks a song, she takes no prisoners. And the victim is always left lifeless on the stage. You have to admire her tenacity, if not her audacity. And Tom, I'll tell you something. Stop the music, please. That's like a little Johnny Cochran there. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Oh,
you
know, sure.
If it does not fit, you must acquit that song. You have to admire her tenacity, if not her audacity.
That must be my influence.
Sure. Beautiful. Very nice. Okay. Hiring Tillis was a good idea, since her singing may actually be more irritating than Kathy Lee's. It's that there hog calling kind.
Now, there you go with the Pam Phyllis fans, too. You're going to get a few letters from them, Tom.
Phyllis sang a medley of those sacred tunes, We Three Kings, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, and My Favorite Things.
Oops.
How'd that last one get in there? With great difficulty. At one point, Phyllis actually sang, We Three Kings of Our Favorite Things. The bill also included NSYNC, one of those teenage boy groups that flit by every so often. Except its members actually range in age from 17 to 27. Their clothes don't fit and they don't project the sexual aggressiveness of Backstreet Boys or Boys to Men or any of the more popular such
aggregations.
Oh, see that?
That's one hell of a word, Tom. Yeah, it's a good one.
Aggregation, that means like other stuff like, right?
It means groups.
Groups.
I could have said groups, but why say groups?
Yeah, aggregation. No. It's good, especially when you're talking about sexual aggressiveness.
Good. So they were apparently pure enough for Gifford's audience. One fellow had his hair flat-topped and braided in such a way to make it look like one of Mamie Eisenhower's old hats.
Oh, man. You know, you're going to write these. You know, if they read these, nobody's going to go on that show, and perhaps it'll die a nice, merciful death.
Well, then I won't even aim for nothing.
That's right.
Now, there's always an act desperate to be on television.
That's right.
Yeah.
Having shopped for Christmas cards in our favorite stationery store.
Stationers, yeah.
And finding them not Christmassy enough, Gifford told the audience she decided to write a song.
Ah!
And so I sat down and the words came to me. May our hearts become a manger for his love. And I went home and couldn't get these words out of my mind. And so I wrote some more words. And the rest, thank heaven, is history. Because after Friday night's performance, no one is likely ever to sing Kathy Lee's original song again. With a possible exception of Kathy Lee.
Kathy Lee!
Gifford tenses all her muscles to sing, it seems.
I'd like to stop you right there and tell you that this next part, if you start this again, to me, is the single best part of the column. Because you've nailed it as far as this is what I don't like about watching Kathy Lee when she sings.
All right, I'll take it from the top.
Okay.
Gifford tenses all of her muscles to sing, it seems, as if her whole body is grimacing. And so one wonders, if it hurts her so much, why does she do it?
Yeah!
It's not as if we couldn't live without it. After she sang, and you know what, Mike, I'm going to disagree with you. I think that this next little bit was the best part of the article.
Mm-hmm.
After she sang, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, the same song popped up in a commercial for Glade Air Freshener. Except Glade's version was more emotionally affecting.
Yeah.
And then you come to the triple T's, Tom. Tepid, torpid, and trippy. The special trundled on. You got four T's there. You got tepid, torpid, trippy, trundled.
Bad writing.
That's fantastic. Losing momentum rather than gaining it. Where, oh, is a cable outage when you really need one? At least Gifford gave fair warning. She was out there singing from the very beginning, a medley of Sleigh Ride and Let It Snow. Please, one might have prayed, in the name of all that's holy. Let it stop. Let it stop. Let it stop.
Bravo. And for people that don't read you in those cities around the country, they got a chance to hear that
song. You guys make it sound much better than it is.
Oh, that's terrific.
I'm going to tell you something. That is the text of the Christmas card that my family will be sending out this year. You are a great, great television writer. But
like a little Christmas card that you give to us. I mean, I know it goes out to everybody in your vast readership, but I'll tell you right now, we love that, Tom. And it has to be a little fun to write that column.
Well, I guess so. But I always hope that this one is the last one, you know, but she keeps coming back.
Yes, she does.
If she's going to come back, I'm going to come back.
There you go.
And last question on this topic. Now, does it ever get back to you? Because, you know, she'll say, well, I don't read Tom Shales. I don't care what the critics say. But you know. You know this bitch reads this. Right when she's, you know, on the toilet. She reads it. Does it ever get back to you? Has it gotten back to you yet that she's read this and perhaps she's upset with you?
Well, the first year I was told she cried, and that made me feel bad, but she cries a lot, so
sure,
I think that's not too bad. She cries at Pepsi commercials, you know.
Right.
So I felt guilty for a while, but so many people encouraged me in this that I guess I must be doing some sort of service.
Yeah. Now, we'll continue to encourage you, Tom Shales.
You are. Happy holidays, Tom Shales.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming back on. I love reading that for you. We'll see you next Christmas, Tom.
It's a date.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Oh, man, that's great.
Isn't that guy?
It's fun.
That guy is so good with the pen and the paper, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And, you know, the thing about it is it's becoming quite a tradition. It really is. And there are people that wait for this column, like us. And he does a great job. He really does. A lot of fun.
He's so good, man. He's so good.
You know, and you don't know. You see Bah Humbug, and you know it's going to come up. And then the very first sentence here, what's the difference between a 24-hour flu and a Kathy Lee Gifford Christmas special? 23 hours. And you know, you got it, you know. I mean, I think I went, yeah, because I knew it was what was coming up. Great.
Like I said, that will change the topic. We got lots to talk about. Not so much even a critique of her special, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the opportunity once a year to aim the cannon right at her big fat head.
Right.
And boom, he fires, man. Tom Shales, great article. We urge you. For our listeners who can read,
he gets the joke, ladies.
We urge you and your newspapers around the country to read this. And if you can't read, have someone you love read it to you.
Yes. Very good.
Because I don't do it justice.
That's terrific, man. That's a lot of fun.
Because you just got to sit and reread it a couple of times.
And the Washington Post took the syrupiest, sappiest picture of Kathy Lee with Pam Tillis to put on the cover of the style section. It was great.
Tracy's good. As if her whole body is grimacing.
No,
it hurts so much. Why does she do it?
Why does she do it?
Have yourself a Merry Christmas. And a commercial for Glade.
I know.
That Glade version was more emotionally effective.
That's right.
Tepid, torpid, and trippy. The special trundled on, losing momentum.
Way to go.
And you know one other person that has the same reaction as you and me on the He'll Never Let On?
Who's that?
Regis Philbin.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. You got to know when Regis was taking his dump this morning.
No, he's just laughing out loud.
He's sitting on the crapper and he's going, Joy! Oh, this is great. Joy! Regis, what are you... And his wife comes to the door. Regis, what are you doing in there?
Joy, they said that the Glade air freshener commercial is more emotionally affecting. God, that kills me.
Huh? Reed, your prostate. Oh. You've been in there so long, my Reed.
Oh, man, it's great. 23 hours. That's the best. I got to call Gilman. And Gilman's right in the tub. You know, right next door.
And you know, halfway through all of that, when he's laughing and having just a big old, just a giggle fest, then Kathy Lee calls. And then he has to go like, oh, I got to talk to her.
They're so unfair to you with your talent. I don't understand why they bash you. You don't worry. You're fantastic. Goodbye.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's got the whole thing memorized. That's fantastic. Well, that's how you start a show with a Pulitzer Prize winning writer and my dramatic reading of the greatest column that Tom Shales writes every single year.
The thing about that, you don't need to watch the special. All you have to do is listen to this show and hear the column, and you're all set. You know, you really don't need to watch it and go through that agony.
I mean, like I said, you're free to turn on for about 5 minutes on Friday night.
Right.
And she finally said, listen, I know you like watching this to goof on it, but please change the station.
It's agony.
Because she was doing that. Sleigh bells are ringing.
No.
Are you listening?
It really doesn't even fit, does it, into the so bad it's good category. Because it's just passable pablum garbage, and it's her false piety, which is, you know, riddled throughout the special.
You gotta hate her to get into it.
Yeah.
You really do.
You gotta have a passion to hate her.
And I love the way that he gets on GIF.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's right about GIF, man. You know, absolutely. Come on out of the oxygen chamber, GIF, and come do your appearance on the Kathy C. Show.
I'll be right there, Kathy.
I'd be interested to know what the ratings were for that also, because they buried that with a 10 p.m. time start.
10 p.m. for the family hour. The family hour. That's when they put it on CBS.
Hello?
Hey, Don, got munchies?
Cody Gifford calling right there.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Buzz. I'm sorry, who's this?
Yeah, right, this is Buzz. Hi, my hands are shaking right now because I'm very nervous dealing the cards.
All Okay, well, Buzz, my name is Rob, and first of all, belated welcome back to you. To hear that you survived the way you did.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted to ask them if they watched the Barbara Eden thing.
Now, who are you talking to now?
He's talking to me, Buzz.
Oh, okay.
And, frankly, I don't care what they watch because they spent most of Saturday afternoon making fun of the way my hands shake when I was trying to deal poker.
I guess it's the easiest to tip a card from the bottom of the deck that way, wouldn't it?
It would if my hands didn't shake so uncontrollably.
That was Barbara Eden had a special.
And there was one other thing that I would like to say on behalf of myself, Buzz Burbank.
Yes, what's that, Buzz?
I'd like to apologize to all of the other players for constantly slowing the game down by never remembering what the wild card was. I'd like to apologize right now, being as I've got the stage right now.
Thank you, Buzz, and congratulations on winning the last hand. Congratulations.
Well,
on being the big pot winner of the day.
I deserve it.
You got all the money at the end there.
But goodness knows, I was thinking about giving the money back to each of you guys equally because I
will accept that, Buzz.
I know the amount of aggravation that I...
Buzz, you're not laughing at this.
No, I'm not. I buzzed you guys during the game.
No, I'm not. You can have your money.
No, it's a joke.
Probably handle the money better than you did handle the cards, though, right?
Sure. Oh, you.
All right,
go away, you.
Come on now, Buzz. Don't be pissed. I'm just kidding you.
All right.
I'm just kidding you. We just, you know, we goof on you for the dealing.
Of course.
That's the only thing.
I understand.
It's just a little fun.
Little cards.
Hello, Don and Mike, sir.
God damn it, Don. Congratulations.
Oh, winning a poker. Yeah,
that's
fun.
Man, you won me $20.
Oh, is this one of the guys that was actually foolish enough to bet on our poker game?
That's right. Every time you guys play, I do.
Well, you know something? It's a safe bet. It's not necessarily a safe bet to always bet on Don, but I think it's a very safe bet to never bet on me. Because I believe that Saturday night was the best I could do, and I lost almost everything.
It was a furious comeback.
Yes, it was, to break even.
Because
to break even.
You had reached the point where I know if it had just been you and I.
Right.
I know I would have seen the real temperament.
Yes, I was.
That was boiling underneath.
Not happy for a good hour and a half during that game. It was very frustrating.
Now, Don, did you start out good, or did you have to come back and win, or how did Bickle play, too?
Consistent winner. Eric Bickle.
Big loser of the day, I believe.
The biggest loser.
But that's really? After he's won a couple of times, so it's okay.
Well, he's won every time you guys have played, hasn't he? Besides this time.
Yeah. Eric and Johnny were the big losers. Although, you know what? I'm here busted on Buzz's ability to deal the cards. I am equally retarded when it comes to knowing what I have in my hand. More than one time, when, like, it's everybody's trying to bet and stuff.
Right.
When, like, the game was still in progress.
Yes.
I just laid down my cards.
You weren't the only one that did that. Everybody got excited. But the one that did that more than anybody, Johnny Cakes, who would say, I got a full house. We haven't finished betting yet.
And one time, Johnny said, I got a full house. And he laid them down and he went, look. 9, 10, jack, queen.
Everybody went, where's the king?
He went, well.
Yeah, I thought he had a straight, and he didn't have a straight.
Yeah, right. So then he recounted his cards.
Let's see, I got 9, 10, jack, queen, eight. Oh, I don't have a straight. There you go.
No, but I did the same thing.
Anyway, congratulations, Don. Merry Christmas to you both.
Thank you, Betty.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, Rob also won some money.
Well, Rob wins. Rob wins every time because he's the dealer. He's actually the money guy, the banker. And so Rob will come into a game with probably $5 and usually go home with $300 to $400, depending on the amount of money.
The banker doesn't give you any advantage. I only won
$27. Yeah, the banker doesn't have any advantage at all.
I won one hand. Look, Carrie, I won one hand, and I've got $400 here.
Well, I think you about broke even.
Yeah. Buzz, I'm 20 in the hole after the sandwiches.
Buzz, you about broke even.
I made about $15, actually.
There you go.
Well, now, that doesn't... How could that be, then? Was there that much money?
Was
there
one?
Oh, he won that the last hand that was, like, $8, right?
Yeah, because we had that all that money in there at the very end because it was the last hand, and I liked that. And then we played a quick game of showdown, and you liked the Texas Hold'em game that you were so skeptical of. You
loved it. Well, I loved it because I won at it.
And kudos to Rob for learning that game and showing us how to do it. It was a good game.
Yeah, I didn't mean to pussy out on you guys at the end. Like, everybody wanted to make these big bets at the end.
Right.
Because I had won my $30. I wouldn't make any bets.
That's the way to do it.
That's
smart.
I would just bet 25 cents, and I'd say,
Nah, forget it. I'm out.
It's not like, you know, we're playing the, you know, the high stakes anyway, you know, as we count our nickels and dimes.
Hey, $30.
$30, it adds up.
I paid for the movies. We all went to the Star Trek movie on Saturday night.
And if you'll notice at the end of the game, too, I was like, let's up the stakes. Let's up the stakes. Desperately clawing my way, trying to somehow put money into my wallet for a change.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike, I love you guys, but I have to respectfully disagree with you about the special this year.
What special?
Hold on,
slow down. You know about Kathy C. Gifford?
Yeah.
Oh, please. Oh, my God.
Can I just say something? The song she sang, the original song she wrote, I'm commissioning for the church that I sing for.
Well, I think that's one of the dumbest moves I've ever heard.
Oh, well, it's a good song. And
That's the CFCW, right? The Church for Salvation Women.
Just in time for Christmas, you came along.
Oh, you set this up.
Just in time for Christmas.
Same lady. Yeah. You're right. Bravo, right. You got us hook, line, and sinker.
This is the same lady that called on Friday, right?
Yes, it is.
There you go. Bravo to you.
Hey. Come on, you hate her as much as we do. Come on, get out of here. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, man, put on kickos. Famoso.
It wasn't Gif, I don't think.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Damn, I got to learn another language.
He didn't like the Kathy Lee special.
Didn't care for it, Buzz. That's that guy. We're going to have to kill that guy.
We're going to have to kill him. That's New Year's resolution. We're going to kill him.
Got
to
kill him in 99.
Yeah, no other punishment. Just kill him.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
The guy just called up to say dirty words. Hello.
Oh, you know what? I had to delay him out twice, so I can't even go back to the telephone, Doug, because he said so many dirty words.
He's a very bad young man. Young man who will be punished by death.
Listen, as long as I got a chance here. Well, we should do a commercial set anyway.
All right.
Let me preview today's show, okay? As if having a Pulitzer Prize winning author on was not enough.
Tom Shales, fantastic guy.
Mm-hmm. We got some more stuff about the poker game to tell you, and how I almost burned down my house again with everybody there.
Yep.
Also today, Leah Remini's coming on the show. She's the star of King of Queens. And tonight, picture goes up on the refrigerator of the set of King of Queens.
Tonight is the night, our network TV debut.
Yay. Tonight is also the first night of Hanukkah, or as you Jewish people call it, Chanukah,
that is the correct pronunciation.
And the guy will be coming in with his dreidels.
Dreidels
for Chanukah.
That's right, and his latkes, potato pancakes, or Luskies.
Yes, named after, what's his name? Andy Kaufman.
Gravis.
Andy Kaufman on Taxi.
Latke Gravis.
Tonight is the first night of Hanukkah, and the guy that comes in with the potato pancakes and the dreidels and educates us as to what Hanukkah is all about. He's coming on the show today.
I don't want to put any pressure on this guy, but I'm looking for an upgraded dreidel this year. You know, the ones we've had in years past are nice, but it always seems to be a little better each year. So I'm hoping that perhaps the dreidels are made out of a metal.
And a money metal. Today is, or was it yesterday?
Money metal dreidel.
What is Charlie Stuex's average birthday? Was it yesterday, Rob?
Yesterday, he turned 58.
It was yesterday. I hate to take you away from that first snack of the show, Rob. What are you enjoying for lunch today, Rob? What are you having right now?
$27 worth of ham sandwich.
$27 worth of ham sandwich. So yesterday was his birthday.
Right.
And he is 58?
Yeah.
We will be celebrating the 58th birthday of Charlie Stuex Sabolet on today's show also.
He planned on celebrating both days, both yesterday and today. He did celebrate yesterday, but I'll have you know that he's got a little problem.
Oh, well, I look forward to hearing about that problem.
A little diarrhea.
I haven't had the chance to see Charlie yet.
Ate a lot of his favorite foods yesterday.
And listen, all this week, special stuff every day, because it's the last week before Christmas.
Right.
Friday, we're giving away $5,000 to one person.
Oh, boy!
To pay off all your Christmas credit card debt. And if you want in on that, be caller number 100 right now at 1-800-636-1067. Good luck, and then we're coming right back.
Good show.
About that because you have been by some television critics. Tom Shales from the Washington Post and others have said that you have thrust your toe-headed Muppets into the public eye in a way that's not fair to them.
Well, it's interesting that those kinds of criticisms usually come from people who don't have children. The man is a good writer, and that's it. Somebody that I respect a lot in the entertainment field was trying to explain to me why certain writers are so sort of vicious. And he said, you know what, Kathy, I think they somehow think you're this mouthpiece for the radical religious right.
Keep killing.
I told you it would work. The Don and Mike Show.
And incidentally, a dude named Tom Sales, godfather to my son, Mark.
Way to go.
Brilliant.
I think that's a wonderful move.
So now, technically, he has kids. Of course, I have to run that by my wife.
She'll say it's okay. Yeah.
Honey, he writes a great column every year about Kathy Lee Gifford.
I was reading like excerpts to my wife this morning, and you know she shares a little of the joy, but not the incredible joy that I get out of it. You know, I read that first paragraph and that first sentence about 23 hours, and I looked over and she's like, "That's nice, very clever, boys."
Hello, there, on my show. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, caller 100 time, and it's you. Who is this, please?
This is Cheryl.
Cheryl, where are you from?
I'm from Las Vegas.
Cheryl, thank you for listening on 105.1 FM. You have won a toy, a sex toy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right, a nasty toy from the Forbidden Fruit. Forbidden Fruit is a store for erotic adults. They're on the web at forbidden-fruit.com. But wait. There's more, not just a Christmas dildo. There's plenty more. You've also qualified to win $5,000 that were given away on Friday's episode. One person wins $5,000 to pay off all their Christmas credit card debt.
Thank you very much.
And that is courtesy of Mortgage and Equity Funding Corporation. Their phone number is 703-691-8345. So make sure please make sure you're listening on Friday's episode, okay?
I will be.
Because if you don't listen, you can't live.
That's correct.
I will be listening.
Thank you very hard. Hold on, please.
That is according to Spob Reback.
And we will be having another Furby giveaway today also.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure if it will be violent or not, but I know this. I know that every time that we've tried to do a nice, warm, and fuzzy Furby giveaway, it blows. But every time we do one where we pit people against each other, like animals going for one piece of meat, it's always killer. It's always fantastic.
And I think after, you know, a long weekend in the malls on Saturday and Sunday, I think people are ready to maybe duke it out today.
Yeah.
I know I would be. I logged a little time in the malls. I'm ready to smack somebody.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We went to the movies on Saturday night.
Great. Was it crowded there, too?
Christ, what a mess it was. It was a Star Trek movie, so I was there with all my Star Trek brethren. You know, lots of them wearing the costumes with the communicator pins and all.
The whole theater kind of smelled like sweat and bad wiping.
However, I'll say this. Let me just say this about going to the premiere of the Star Trek movie. You're going on the first weekend that it's out.
Okay.
The one good thing about that is because all of the people going to see that movie the first weekend are so into Star Trek, like no talking during the movie.
Uh-huh.
And on the rare occasion that someone would actually have their bag of popcorn and you'd hear this, a million heads at once would turn around and you'd hear,
how are we supposed to enjoy this film if you're going to be rattling your popcorn box?
That's the one thing that was fantastic. Of course, on the downside,
right,
because this is, and keep in mind, this is a relative term, the funniest of the Star Trek movies.
Real laugh riot right up there with Adam Sandler.
You would think you were watching The Waterboy the way that the people laugh.
And it's always, isn't it always like some space-related dry remark that sends them into convulsive laughter?
Here's the first joke. The first joke is that they got to have dinner with a bunch of squirrely-looking aliens, and they're putting on their dress uniforms, and Deanna Troy comes in and says, hey, listen, they don't like eating regular food. They eat flowers, okay?
Uh-huh.
So then Picard says something like, well, perhaps we should get together a big bowl of chrysanthemums and some daisies. And then, you know, like, in the theater. Because I hear, oh, that Patrick Stewart saved me. This is just like the film needed a little levity. Oh, that's so funny.
I love it when Data cracks a joke. That's when it really makes me laugh.
And you know what? And keep in mind, I'm a Star Trek fan, but I will tell you that I like this movie. I like this one better than the other two.
Oh, good. This movie not only degraded the box office, but well-received by the critics.
Oh, but they're making Data, like, too goofy now.
And is it would Data approach
MASH's overuse of Jamie Farr towards the end of the round, the run.
Yes.
I mean, is it?
As a matter of fact, it would help Data's character if they would start dressing him in a dress like they did with Claire.
He's like a supporting character who is now taking point on a lot of these movies.
Listen, the pecking order is Picard,
right.
Riker, Data.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Poor Worf is way down there. Geordi LaForge, that's a cameo, man.
Right.
And the doctor, the good-looking redhead doctor, she must have had 5 lines of dialogue in this whole movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that Beverly Crusher?
Right. Yes, Dr. Beverly Crusher.
That redheaded doctor. I cannot believe you are referring to the woman who, for the longest period of time,
well, I'm past her,
was the total object of your affection, and
yes,
now
she
is referred to Dr. Beverly Crusher is the redheaded doctor.
Yeah. Now, Deanna Troi.
Looking good again? Ooh.
Very strong. One very nice scene where she's in a bathtub with Riker. Of course, you don't see anything because it's all bubbly and everything.
No tiggle bitties?
She's got them, though.
Oh, yes.
She's got the tiggest bitties.
Always has been a handsome woman.
She does. And Riker... Riker had... The tiggled...
Donor.
You know what I mean. I mean, unfortunately, the words big and boner start with B.
You can't do it.
I can't do the take old bitties thing with him, but he was obviously aroused in the scene where he's in the bathtub with her. I mean, not obviously aroused. It was, I assumed, and of course, when you assume big and ass out of you and me, I thought he would probably be aroused in the bathtub with her.
So he had a wig booty?
Yes, he did. He had a wig old booty.
A wig old booty.
A wig old booty. And Data, listen, he's supposed to be an android robot.
Right.
Who is like there if everybody else on the Enterprise goes crazy. You got Data there.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what to do? Here's like the whole big thing with Data now. He's in the water. They're in a pond. They're in this big lake. They've all had to jump off a dock into this water.
He's right. Got a Pobot Remus, right?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
And it's rarred as a hawk. Constantly rarred as a hawk. He's constantly hawk rarred.
Constantly. Makes him a good alien.
So here's what they got him doing now. And of course, when he was on TV, the guy kind of did look like an alien because they didn't have real close-ups and stuff, and you couldn't see that they just, like, put mascara on his face.
Yeah, no,
right?
See, I've seen even the trailers they run now. They got such extreme close-ups of Data that you can tell that he looks like somebody that's going on a Saturday night at midnight to go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
One of these women that they find on this planet, she falls into this river, this pond, and she goes, oh, I can't swim. So, of course, Picard jumps in wearing a Starfleet uniform, swims out to save her. And Data swims out there, too. They get out there, and Data goes, if I am immersed in water, I can become a flotation device. And, like, that's the level of dialogue that Data has.
Is that when Picard climbed on his back?
And mounted him.
And then the movie really picked up steam.
And that's where all the Trekkies, like, when Data starts doing his crazy shtick.
Right.
That's when they're really just gales of billowing laughter throughout the theater.
I would say the average Trekkie probably identifies with Data more than any other character. I mean, he's
sure.
Right, but he's their guy. He's their guy done well, you know?
And not that much shoot 'em up.
Really?
You know? But at least, unlike other Star Trek movies, not that preachy. I mean, a lot of times in a Star Trek movie, you go and they just want to get across that goddamn message that everybody should love everybody.
But I heard it's a good, I heard it was a good story. A very good story? Was that true? I mean,
it was all right.
You didn't like it.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it, okay?
There you go.
Let me put it like that. It was okay.
You wanted more violence.
23 minutes. That's the first time I checked my watch.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
They've gone to the well too many times.
Let that be the warning to you. And F. Murray Abraham.
That was the famous Academy Award winning actor.
Let me say it again. F. Murray Abraham.
Exactly.
That guy's not a believable villain.
I bet he was in that chair. You know, we had that done one time, that kind of makeup. I bet he was in that chair for a long time.
Yeah, he did a thing like Morgan Fairchild getting their face pulled back.
Right.
And, a talk. It was just awful. Talk. F. Murray Abraham. That's all I want to say about that. So it was okay. I mean, it was better than the other ones, but the other ones weren't that good either.
You think, well, they'll keep making them, I'm sure.
Oh, they're trying to stop being funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they want to show, we got to show Riker without his beard. We got to show Data making jokes. We got to show Picard singing and dancing. We got to see Geordi LaForge without his... how he wore that, like, beret on Star Trek to cover his eyes up?
Does he take off that thing and have boiled eggs for eyes now?
No, his eyes are perfect.
Oh, let's see. That's the agent doing that. That's his agent going, you know, Geordi wants somebody to see his eyes.
Okay, let me tell you just one last jive thing for this movie. This will give you the exact flavor of the Star Trek movie.
Good.
And if any of you Trekkies don't like I'm talking about it, screw you. Y'all went to see it with me this weekend anyway.
Absolutely. We're down. We've got to be first in line. Come on now. I'll see your screen. Crowded.
Data goes crazy.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Data, like, has a malfunction and starts trying to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So Data's out of control. And Picard is trying to get Data back. Because Starfleet just wants to kill Data.
Mm-hmm.
And Picard says, oh, give me a chance. So he and Worf go up in a spaceship. And they're going to try to... Data's driving his own spaceship now, okay?
See, that's wrong. That's just not right.
There's one shot where they look out the window. And Data's in the driver's seat of his... Of his rocket ship. And he was out.
With his wig old buddy. Was he driving a spaceship with his wig old buddy?
Just like Tommy Lee, Mike. Just like Tommy Lee in the Pam Anderson video.
Look at that spaceship move.
So they're driving along, and Picard's like going, Data, it's Captain Picard. Pull over, man. Pull over. And Data's not doing anything. So then Picard says,
Mr. Worf, do you know who Gilbert and Sullivan are? And Worf goes, have they been recently assigned to the Enterprise?
Oh, God, they're not going to sing a Gilbert and Sullivan song.
Just wait. Picard says, before Data went nuts, he had been working on singing Gilbert and Sullivan tunes. So now, here you go. Here's the way that they're going to distract Data so that they can shoot him down. Picard starts going, Ahoy, ahoy, I see
you
now, my boy. And then while Data's going crazy, like, and firing his rocket gun off, he starts singing, too, because remember, unconsciously, this was his last memory. So he's like going, pew, 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 ahoy, ahoy. And then Picard says to Worf, you've got to sing it with me now, so we distract him. And Worf goes,
Captain, I don't know the words.
And then on the screen, on their little computer screen, the words come, and it's got the bouncing ball.
Sure. That's what they can do in space. Now, with that technology, it's bigger than the Internet.
Christ.
Yeah. Mitch Miller right there in the spaceship. So Worf was able to sing, too, and the Data snap out of it.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. When Data, they fooled him, because when Data got immersed in song, then they beamed him down to their ship, and then they were able to turn off his button.
His switch. Where was his switch located?
Well, normally, right by his wig old booty. I thought they had to pull on his wig old booty. Well, I mean, I don't want to rip the movie apart because I had kind of a good time with it. Mm-hmm. But it's like I'm watching this and I'm going like, what, you know, they're singing? Why are they singing? They might as well sing Gilbert O'Sullivan rather than Gilbert and Sullivan. Alone again, naturally. I like the Trekkies. We're going crazy like, oh, this is good on so many levels. You know, it's serious drama. They're flying the rocket ships. But look. Right. Look, Picard is singing. Worf is singing. Data's singing. Okay, look.
Next to his rig old Bechtum.
That's where this tradition is. And this is the type of laughter that I heard in the theater.
Data let off a good one.
So I don't know if I would give that a thumb up or a thumb down. I didn't hate it.
It's a watch checker, though.
Yeah, oh, definitely a watch checker. See, I'd gone in with the advantage of having Charlie Stossel, our movie man, tell me that the movie was only a little over 90 minutes long.
See, that's a bonus, too. And under any circumstances, that's a good bonus.
Still, I still checked the watch. Mm-hmm. Still had to check the watch. Not that good.
Not a good sign.
No.
Sort of a bucking four.
Yes. Yes. An absolute bucking four, Mike.
Oh, getting dangerous now.
A mother bucking four is what it was, really. If you want me to be... I had to delete myself. It's hard to say effing honest.
Yeah, because honest has no, you know, good consonants on the front of it.
The H is like... Never mind. I just said it. I had to delete myself out because it sounded really, really dirty.
It's a dangerous game. Oh, it is a fun, dangerous game.
Okay, there. Hello.
Up.
Hello, may I speak with Buzz, please?
Buzz, someone's on the line for you.
I can see that. Hello,
yes,
sir.
Here he is. Hello, sir.
Hello, Buzz.
Hello. Hello. Is this Jorge?
Hey, Buzz. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I am lonely without you.
I bet.
I can no longer hear the show.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Buzz, how is your colon?
My colon couldn't be healthier, Jorge.
Is everything being digested well?
Everything digested excellently, thank you.
And how did it come out?
In the usual way.
Oh, Jorge.
Come on, Jorge.
We kind of knew where he was going there, didn't we?
Come on, I had to disconnect that guy. Call Buzz in the office. Maybe you'll get the $1.06 for the new tip of the week. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you guys doing?
Hey, fine.
Hey, I've got a cufflink story for you.
No. No, the only people to tell story about the cufflinks on this show is me and Mike.
Yeah, we don't tell stories. We tell the truth.
23rd most popular... Chris is the number one most popular man in all of the world, but he's the 23rd most powerful man in sports.
I'm saluting right now. You can't see this on the radio, but I'm saluting.
The president of CBS.
You're here.
If that didn't make me...
happy, filled with joy.
That didn't make me the happiest man in the world when I was looking at that list.
Right.
I said, boy, look at that list.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan.
Right.
Lee Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones.
Oh,
cufflinks.
You know what that tells me? That he's the 23rd most powerful man in sports?
Uh-huh.
It tells me that you are that much closer to a head coaching position in the NFL.
I wish, Mike.
That's right.
I wish.
And you'd,
oh,
be the first,
right?
You'd be the first head coach that wouldn't be on the sidelines. You'd be up there where all those guys are, right? Where the TVs are.
Yeah.
So you can watch the other games.
I'd be coaching from the stands. Either that or I wish he'd just let me take over CBS one of these days.
And program.
Yeah, right.
I see no reason why you can't do both.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Yeah, Radio God.
Yes, hello.
It's great to talk to you. How come you guys don't have like at 2 o'clock, I guess it'd be, or actually be, yeah, 2 o'clock. How come you don't have a halftime show where you like recap other radio station shows in progress and, you know, kind of have the highlights of your first half?
I thought I heard him say something.
Yeah, like, no, Mike, he didn't say that. We're all
right.
Going to pretend that we
That's
didn't
right.
hear that.
You didn't hear that.
Didn't hear what?
You're
exactly
somewhere in the middle of that poorly phrased, inane question with, I thought, a nasty word.
Well, and to answer the almost unanswerable question, I think I understand the question. Why don't we, like, halfway through our show...
Have a halftime show.
Well, then why would anybody listen to the first half of the show if we were going to tell them what happened halfway through?
Have the highlights, and plus you could recap some of the, like, the fumbles. All
No, you're like an idea man. Well, get out of here. Just listen to the whole show.
And then, by the way, you forgot Dan Aykroyd's first Fat movie. It was a trick question because...
That is a horrible call. That is a horrible... You're a horrible caller.
Boo, very bad on many fronts. Idea man,
mm-hmm.
Very poor grammar.
Yeah, right.
Talking about something on last week's show.
Terrible.
Very bad.
And just a real ween.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
You know, I'm not just diving into these calls without reason. On one of these lines, there is some serious Trekker,
okay,
that wants, like, to argue with me because I talked about the Star Trek movie.
How can you call that movie a bore? How can you call that movie a bore? Data is brilliant.
But no, you know, we got 12 lines on hold. I don't know which one it is. Hello?
Hey.
That's not you, is it?
No, it's not.
Oh, crap. Sound like it could be, though.
You got the potential.
Just a little too mellow, though.
They take you off in Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah, we understand that. Our station changed format there.
Oh.
Nothing we can do about that.
What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Eat lead, sir.
Move. Move to where the food is.
I'll find
go.
It.
Those are the two options we've given you. Either kill yourself or move somewhere where the show can be heard.
That's what I'll do.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you.
It's a little tough when you're up there in that part of Vermont, you know, to move all the way down here to Washington, D.C. Or actually, the closest would be he'd be able to go down to...
Can you go to Portland, Maine or something?
Portland, Maine or Worcester.
Good job.
Sure. Yeah. Cape Cod, you know.
We're all over New England.
Sure.
F. Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah, boo!
F. Murray Abraham. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up?
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
F. Lee Bailey.
Don Kerr.
I'm trying. Give me a second.
F. Ross Perot.
Oh, F. Ross Johnson.
Oh!
That's a real one.
Yep. Your F. Ross Perot is just a...
That's right.
Didn't he have it, though? Didn't he use it for a while there?
H. Ross Perot.
Okay,
sorry.
So you got F. Ross Johnson.
F. is on.
That's for Rod.
Hey, hold on a second. Somebody's calling me on the hotline. Hello?
Boo-boo!
Yes?
The Tex-Mex is back.
Oh, thank God. Listen.
You don't look, know. You just see the look on his face, Frida.
I didn't know that much.
You don't know the withdrawals I went through this weekend. I'm on this diet where I eat the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a huge salad, and I have, like, red meat for dinner, mm-hmm. and the only treat that I allow myself to eat is cheddar cheese Chex Mix.
Sounds good.
No fat, very low carbohydrate. I get a couple of handfuls of that a day, and it, like, satisfies my need to eat bad food.
And they discontinued it for a while?
Well, no, I'm the only guy in the world that buys it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, he starts to like something, and all of a sudden there's a run on it at the grocery store because they're not used to someone buying it in such mass quantities. It's the same with dietary Coke. It's the same with the syrup he puts in his coffee.
That's oh, and you know what else? Honey, you know what else? Green Giant, broccoli, and cheese. Before I started buying it, you could go in the store at any time, there'd be like 20 canisters of it in there. Now you go in our Safeway and it's never there.
Well, you know what they do? I think they have a very delicate formula for stocking and restocking. And if somebody throws that out of whack, you're going to go a week or two without having your favorite items in.
So all weekend, I'm constantly saying to Fred, you know, because I can't drive for a month.
Right.
Saying, please. Take me to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, take me to the store, and I would run in for 1 second and say, oh, damn, they're out of my Chex Mix.
Is it a brand name, Chex Mix? Is that what it
Chex,
is?
Yes,
yeah. C-H-E-X, the brand name?
Right.
Not generic or anything, like where you get it with a shovel.
No. Although I was desperate enough that I might have. And I did buy the traditional Chex Mix.
Right.
Which just didn't cut it, man.
You want the cheddar cheese flavor.
I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tried to buy it when I was buying his supplies, as he calls them, at the grocery store. And I thought I almost lost my job as wife when he saw that I had bought those until I explained that they were out of them. And, but I cleaned.
She bought the traditional Chex Mix.
You're set to the year 2000.
Well, good. And listen,
all right.
You can't argue with the results. Today we had I'm putting on my suit because we have a Christmas party Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I put my suit on. Suit that I bought about a year ago, and then I had it taken in 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on today, and the pants fall down to the floor again.
That's good.
Like so much GD weight, so we had to go back and have the suit altered again today.
Terrific.
You had two suits made out of that suit.
You cannot argue with my odd diet. It works, baby.
Whatever works, that's what's key.
I need that Chex Mix. I desperately need
healthy.
That. I need that to survive.
All right. Well, you're okay now.
Okay. I love you.
I love you, too.
Very good wife.
All right, good. Thank you.
Very good wife.
One of the reasons those suit pants fell to the floor was both pockets were full of that cheddar cheese Chex Mix.
I saw Skiller, man.
I stopped by the carpet store, too, and I found entire new carpet.
Honey, I haven't even talked about me hardly almost setting the house on fire this weekend.
Okay.
So don't blow it. Right. I haven't talked about that yet.
All right. Well, good news was there. I can replace just that section of the house that you burnt down. I don't have to replace that whole carpet.
That's good news.
Okay. Goodbye, sweetie.
Love you. Oh, listen, that Star Trek movie. What did you think of that?
It was good. I enjoyed it.
Mm.
There was humor in it. It wasn't a big shoot 'em up. It wasn't all a machismo. It was a lot of sensitivity. I liked it.
See, everything I said. Okay, honey. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, now listen. Excuse me.
Yes.
Do we have time to do the break before Leah Remini? Well, she's made us wait before. Charlie, can she wait through one brief commercial set?
Or Charles Broyhill. Waiting for Charles Broyhill, who will come in here in a moment.
Our producer. Charlie Broyhill.
Perhaps he's...
Oh, now here he comes.
Here
he's making the turn.
Any food?
Can she wait?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Marvin's really sore.
Why?
From playing football yesterday.
Why? I was going to feel sorry for you.
No.
I thought you really had, like, a problem. It
I do
like
have a
ribs.
Problem.
It looked like, you know...
He was playing for the Redskins yesterday.
And we win.
That's weird. Do your ribs make you walk like you got a problem down your data switch? By his wriggled rectum.
All right, so she can wait?
Yeah.
All right, good. Let's do a quick set, and we'll come back then and have the...
You're funny.
You're funny watching you walk out of the studio like that.
Man. Looks like a painter's problem.
We'll have Leah Remini from King of Queens when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Try listening with your feet on the windshield. The Don and Mike Show.
Now that we've changed our whole schedule around to accommodate her.
Yes, major television star.
Now we're waiting on Leah Remini.
Waiting waiting for the phone to ring.
One, two, three, four. Two.
One, two, three, four. I think she's got down. Major Wrestling star Leah Remini.
Hey,
Leah, how you doing?
Good. You guys had me on hold? I've been holding for 7 minutes, 8 minutes off.
Oh, sorry.
What was so important?
There it is. This is the first sign right here, ladies and gentlemen. She's become a very big success in Hollywood.
Meanwhile,
I think you can
get
tell.
The picture even?
We had to play our commercials. And our answer is yes.
Uh-huh.
We received the picture.
Good.
We received the beautiful letter that you sent us, and your beautiful lips that were on the beautiful letter.
We cannot tell you how delighted we are with the success of your show, King of Queens.
Absolutely.
And how delighted we are that you have made yourself available to us.
Always. I think it's because of you guys that we're doing pretty well.
Oh, please. Don't patronize us,
but I believe we do have a small part in doing your success.
I'm not.
All right, now listen. First off,
I can't be nice.
No, you can't. Not on this show. First off, we have no problem with you. You're the greatest, a beautiful, wonderful woman, treated us very nicely. Please tell your teddy bear co-star, though, that he did the last time we were going to have him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We went through the whole thing where we said, okay, 5:15,
right.
The great Kevin James calling in, we stop the show down, we wait, nothing.
Really?
Then he calls in the next day.
Right.
And said, oh, my agent told me the wrong time.
Sure.
You know, and what we said, that's the first sign that show's becoming a goddamn hit.
Absolutely.
Can I tell you something, though? He even told me he was doing the show.
Well.
So they must have screwed up.
Well, you know what? We're enjoying.
I love you guys.
Leah, we are really enjoying the ride right now because we know full well that there will come a time when, you know, the show is getting more successful and more successful, and we know that this cannot last forever.
Very soon we'll be in your rearview mirror. Well, listen, I'll tell you what I had the thought for sure. Was when I was reading that. I'm reading this, and I'm sure you've read this, too. The Entertainment Weekly magazine.
What a rave.
Yeah.
What a rave.
You know, and I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, they're absolutely right. This is the funniest show on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely deserves an A.
Mm-hmm.
Past is great.
Right.
We're going to be coming out in their stool pretty soon.
Don't be a schmuck. That's so not true. That's so not true.
Oh, we're just, you know, we're cynics. And we're very insecure.
I'm going to be calling you. You guys have been really, really good to us.
Well,
I'm not going to not call you.
Your show, now we will tell you the truth, that your show has, King of Queens, tonight, 8:30 on CBS, has gotten funnier and funnier and funnier every single week. And that's no lie. If the show was a piece of crap, we'd tell you, like when we had that guy from Arliss on.
Oh, we did. And we had Robert Wall on from Arliss. And, you know, we wanted to like it because we actually ended up critiquing the show every week when he would call.
Oh, really?
It wasn't funny.
And what was his reaction to
it? He was cool about it.
He was so desperate to talk to anybody on the radio about his TV show.
Right.
He called us like 4 weeks in a row. And we just... 4 weeks in a row.
We gave him a very legitimate,
honest critique of his show.
And then, you know, after the fourth week, it lost its novelty for him.
Right, exactly. But he keeps calling, so we must like the abuse.
No, he doesn't call anymore.
Oh, he doesn't?
He had his fill of us.
Okay.
Well, listen.
I have it.
Your show is so funny. Oh, and listen, I know what else I want to talk to you about.
What?
You know, my wife was watching TV a couple of weeks ago, and she says, come here. It was on a Saturday.
Right.
She said, come here. Look at this. Saved by the Bell.
Oh, Jesus.
No. Who is making out on the beach with Zach?
It was her?
It was her.
They reran an old one.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Who knew? How come you never told us you were on Saved by the Bell?
Well, I didn't want to give you the whole resume, but you know what it is? It's that I'm on this show, which I really love, and I love the people that we have on it, and it's like, you know, I want to, like, get them off the Saved by the Bell thing. Although I appreciate, you know, people coming, but it's like every time somebody recognizes me, I would go, oh, it's from the King of... No, that's not it. And then it's like, oh, we Saved by the Bell.
Well, I don't think you should be embarrassed by
it. It's not embarrassing. It's just that I want to grow out of it. I want people to watch this show and not have, like, Saved by the Bell on the mic.
I think, you know, I don't think you have to worry about that. I mean, it's not like Warner Klemper is Colonel Klink. You know, you don't have to worry about being pigeonholed for Saved by the Bell. And your show, King of Queens, you're on a ride right now that I don't think is going to stop anytime soon. And you're going to be, the next thing you do after this show, and I hope it's a long run for this show, you know, who knows, maybe you're going to be... Stop talking about King of Queens. I want to do other stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, that'll happen, too.
Yeah, but you know what thing is that I was only recurring on Saved by the Bell. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not something that I even did it for a whole season. So it was like, you know, weird. Because I've been on King of Queens more than I've been on Saved by the Bell.
You don't have tapes that, I mean, I know you hate talking about it. You don't have tapes of your Saved by the Bell appearance that you could send us, do you?
What did you just say?
Like Saved by the Bell appearance tapes that you could maybe send us?
No, sweetie, I can honestly say that I don't.
Oh,
she's hotter now. She's all grown up now.
Ah, good.
Yes, all grown up,
good.
Baby.
As a matter of fact, you want to get turned on by Leah Remini? Just watch football some Sunday when they run the endless promos for her show.
Right.
When it's Kevin James just kind of standing there. Mm-hmm. And she, like,
dancing.
She has, like, a belly dance around him.
That's right.
I do not.
No, you do, too.
I swear that you totally imagine that.
No. It's highly erotic. I am not complaining.
You know, as well as being cynics, Leah, we also have a very active fantasy life. Also.
Okay.
You know, we have to have that to succeed in this job.
Yes, you're often in my thoughts.
Have you seen your picture yet on the fridge?
Have we what?
You're gonna see your picture tonight on the fridge.
Tonight. Right? Now, that's we've been promoting our primetime debut tonight.
We are so, and we really are so excited about this.
Oh, that is so pitiful that we're excited.
It is so
pitiful.
Tonight is our Christmas show, so it's funny. It's a new one.
And it's called like the Christmas gift?
I don't know. I tell you, I think you're going to see your picture in this one. But if you don't, you have to call me and give me credit.
Oh, no. Oh, no. She's hedging already.
Why?
No.
Why wouldn't...
I'm trying to remember if we did any kitchen scenes.
Oh, no.
Oh, every other week on that goddamn show, you do scenes in the kitchen.
I know.
You mean you're not going to be in the kitchen?
I think we are. I don't remember it.
Well, Mike, I think that she may be savvy enough that she's playing us here.
Yeah.
Well, listen, either way, you know, we'll watch it, and everybody listening will watch it to see if we're on it tonight. And then either way, tomorrow, at least on this show, everybody talks about King or Queens. Now,
exactly.
You're still... Are you...
you know what? The people on the staff and stuff, they won't find it. Go, is that Don and Mike on the fridge?
Yeah,
they totally know you guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you...
What's wrong with you? Do you know what? When I'm nice to you guys, don't believe it.
That's right, we don't believe you.
Your callers call in and start yelling at me. I can't win with you two. You're like women over here.
Are you still shooting episodes right now? You still in the middle of your production schedule?
Yes.
Are we still on the refrigerator?
You're still on the refrigerator.
So whenever you do scenes...
Off, you're going to be on there.
Good. When you do scenes in the kitchen, you know, I know you block the whole thing out. That's what you TV people do. You rehearse.
Stop it.
Just sort of lean up against the refrigerator, you know? And just sort of just...
I'm a little lean, sweetie. I'm a little lean.
You do a little lean for me. You're often in my thoughts, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
All right. All I want to say, you made quite an impression on me in those ski pants that you claimed were not ski pants.
Again with the ski pants. Okay.
All right, now, let's talk about the huge success of your show and what we have to do to get that pecker show off and get you in that, 9:30 time slot.
Why would I be in a 9:30 time slot?
Because you're great at 8:30.
That's Pecker, who?
Becker, Ted Danson.
Becker.
NBC show, I'm there.
This is me talking, not you talking.
All right.
Okay? Here's what I say. Bill Cosby does not give the King of Queens the lead-in that King of Queens needs. Look at how you guys perform with such a crappy lead-in as Cosby. Now, if the lineup is like this, Cosby, Pecker, Everybody Loves Raymond,
right.
King of Queens, you guys, you're averaging about 12 share now. We get about 12 million viewers.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with our time slot. We're up against Conrad Bloom, so I'd like to keep it that way.
Well, no, tonight you're on against Caroline in the City. Well, that show sucks, too.
Yeah, you kick ass against
that. Yeah, that show sucks.
That show sucks.
And on Fox, Melrose Place, nobody watches that anymore.
Right.
Monday Night Football, you only got two more weeks. And listen, when football is over, look out, that's when your show totally kicks in.
Magazine cover time.
And that's when we don't want you to forget us. When in February, when they say, the biggest surprise of the season is
right.
The incredible rise of King of Queens.
That's it.
Listen, record this. We will never forget you. We will always be available to talk to you.
Oh, you liar, but it's okay.
I'm not a liar. What is wrong with you two today?
Listen, I'll tell you how devoted I am. We wanted the plot of all your episodes. There's the episode where Kevin, you go to the Jets game where he has to propose to you again, has to do something spontaneous for you. There's where Jerry Stiller gets that. Who is that beast that Jerry Stiller was supposed to be banging? The old actress?
Oh, yeah.
Brenda Vaccaro. Brenda Vaccaro. Oh.
Yeah, what about her?
What a beast. Christ, what happened to her?
She's adorable.
adorable.
She's big as a house.
You know,
here's the nice thing I want to tell you. Hold on a second. I know you're excited. Calm down. I know you're very excited. I won't interrupt you. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to give Leah the recap to let her know.
She knows you watch the television.
Watch all the shows.
She knows you watch the television program.
I just want to establish my side. And remember, Mike, my side is your side. I now bow the floor to the fine gentleman from Virginia.
Bully! All I wanted to ask you about Stiller. I always mention Stiller when you guys are on this show. You seem to really click with him, and are there going to be more scenes with you and Jerry Stiller?
Yes.
Good.
They really, really love Jerry, and we do too. I mean, he really does make us pee. So we'll see more of Jerry. You do see a lot of him in the later episodes. So, like tonight, it's basically about us three. So
good.
Yeah.
Be good.
Here's what I was thinking from.
And he's in this current episode that you guys we're just taping it this week.
Any chance of any incest between you and Jerry? I mean, I know he plays your father on the show.
Well, I've come on to Jerry a few times, and he's not into me.
How could anybody not be into you?
I just recently met his wife. Actually, you should talk to Kevin. I said, when you talk to Don and Mike next time, and they go, hey, you know, we look good in that dress, tell them, you know, the sick things that I do off the set.
There you go.
You know, this will really, really get him going.
That wouldn't bother me.
Yeah. It'd be a good plot line, I think.
So
fire off a story idea to them. That would be good.
What?
Yeah. We're just talking about story ideas for your show.
I think the incest storyline would be, it would slay everybody. It really would.
Yeah, but that's for sweeps. We got to do that when we really need to.
For sweeps?
We want to save that for later.
For sweeps, I got you in a three-way with Jerry Stiller and that guy Spence. The other guy. That's what I got, all three of you in bed together. Well, listen, you are, well, who's that?
That's my boyfriend.
Oh, let's not talk about him.
Oh, boy.
Alrighty.
Let's not ruin this conversation by talking about him.
You still very much in love with your boyfriend?
Yeah. I am, but he just told me that he dropped soda all over my new tiles.
Oh, boy.
I'm not too happy with him right now.
I'd leave him.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend, the lottery winner. Are you kidding? Being with Leah Remini?
I'm such a prize.
You are. You are. He should play the lottery every day. It's like your birthday.
Yeah. No, he loves me. He's a doll.
But he should love you. He should thank the day he met you. Absolutely.
Yeah, he does.
So, you sound to me. Last thing about you sound not to be quite as insecure as you've been in previous weeks.
Now, what
I mean is, I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm trying to say something nice to you. I'm trying to be nice to you.
Okay, what do you
mean? When we've had you on before, we've talked about how the show's a success. You always said, no. We're just trying to get renewed. We're just trying to get 23 episodes. Now, I'm hearing some confidence. That's not a bad thing. Confidence is a good thing, Leah.
No, don't say that, because now I'm going to think, now the show is going to get canceled, now that I'm not, you know, I have to be insecure now.
Well, no.
You just ruined it.
No, go ahead, be insecure if you want.
I am insecure, because you only got picked up for the back nine, and so now I'm doing...
Mike, you're not the breakthrough hit of CBS.
Oh,
please.
You know what? You know what I want to tell you?
What?
I'm doing Access Hollywood today, and I heard you guys have a big thing for Giselle, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? You ever meet her?
Yes, we've met her in person.
And?
Are you kidding?
Have you been with her yet? Have you been interviewed yet? I don't mean been with her. I mean, have you been interviewed with her?
Oh, would that be a great movie? Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, she's like 6 feet tall. Am I right?
So you haven't seen her yet? You haven't been interviewed by her yet?
No.
You know what? That would be fantastic. Who would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Who would you do? Leah Remini? Or Giselle.
Now, is that fair, being that she's 6 feet tall, perfect bones, perfect boobs? I mean this.
I would do you.
I
swear to God.
You're so lucky.
No, he is telling the truth.
This is the game.
So lucky, I cannot curse.
He is telling
Leah,
the truth.
Leah, listen. This is a game we play all the time on the show.
That's right.
Who would you do where we give up two celebrities and you say, who would you do?
Mm-hmm. And who was your choice?
You.
The girl from Raven?
No. I would do you before I do her. I would.
You know what?
Face it. I'm not lying.
Right.
I'm not lying.
Tell the truth.
Before I interviewed you, that they told me, hi, sweetie, They told me before you interviewed me, before I met you, that you guys had a thing for me. And I was like, so I walked in there all cocky to find out that you were actually talking about the Raymond girl.
Yeah, right. And if it was who would I do, you or Raymond's wife, I'd do you.
All right.
Yeah, and then it was love at first sight after that. You know that.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
A good thing.
All right.
I just really, I want to tell you that Giselle Fernandez, she's a man-made, okay?
How do you know that?
Take a look at her.
Can you tell me she's not sculptured? Can you tell me that she hasn't been to some plastic surgery? No, I'm not saying she's a bad-looking woman. She's a fine woman.
Right.
But if given the choice, I swear to Jesus Christ, my Savior,
right,
I do you.
And I would do Spence.
Thank you. That's a very...
I've just always been, you know, attracted to him on the show. I think he's great. I'm 2 inches away from the set when I see it.
I'll tell you one thing about it. She's a huge phony baloney. Wouldn't you agree that Giselle Fernandez is a huge phony baloney?
She's a handsome woman, and she is a little bit Hollywood. That was our impression. I guess you have to be to do the job she does.
No, because you can be a real person as soon as the cameras are off. You don't have to be...
Well, here's what it'll be. She'll do the thing on you. Then she'll get done, and she'll go, you know, that's Leah Remini. She's funny and perky and really nice.
No.
And she gives that phony smile. Then as soon as the camera's going to see you, go,
I hate her.
She's such a bitch.
Yeah. You give me a dirty look. Look at her. I hate her.
So see, but more of this is coming your way. These exclusive interviews. Everybody wants a piece of you. That's what's happening now, you see. I don't know whether you're aware of it, and I know you like that insecurity thing, but things are going well for you. I want to tell you that.
All right.
Correct. So what is she going to talk to you about today?
No, I'm not being interviewed by her.
Oh, you
actually, they're coming and they're decorating my house for me for Christmas.
Oh, so you're totally selling out for a second for that.
What are you talking about?
I know. I happen to know what that is. That's the Weekend Access Hollywood show where they go to celebrities' houses.
So what's wrong with that? I don't know how to decorate.
So they're going
to
decorate and pay for everything?
No, I got to pay for it.
But you have to pay for it?
Yeah.
Really?
But they're coming over here and doing it. That's nice. They're teaching me how to cook a chicken. I don't know how to do that. You know?
All right. Well, you know what it is, really? It depends who they hook you up with.
Mm-hmm.
Who the other celebrities are that they're profiling. Like, you're not in a good situation if it's like Eric Estrada. You know what I mean? If there's some lame celebrities.
So
I hope they package your segment with better celebrities.
If you hear the name under any circumstances, Al Molinaro.
Run.
Yeah.
Steve, you can pull the plug.
Pull the plug?
There you go.
All right, I will.
All right, listen, Leah Remini, her show is King of Queens, and here's a super plug. It's on 8:30 tonight on all the CBS stations to all the cities we go to. Watch it. Watch the whole goddamn show because it is hilarious. It really is. It really is.
Thank you. I do appreciate it.
And we appreciate you calling, and good luck to you.
I will be calling you year 5, so don't even, you know.
Oh, please. I'm just looking for you to call next year. You know, just make it in 1999 and we'll be happy.
Okay.
And listen, I'm positive that there's no way that we'll talk to you before Christmas. So have a good holiday.
Okay, you guys too.
And please tell Kevin the same. And we'll look for our pictures tonight. However, if we don't see our picture, you'll be hearing from us tomorrow, lady.
All right, call me.
All right.
Call me on the set.
Okay, we will. Bye, Leah.
You guys, bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
The very hot Leah Remini. I meant that. To her or Giselle?
Oh, I know you meant that.
I do her. That's the absolute truth.
And we were pretty hot for Giselle, but then there was a different, as far as you were concerned, there was a different little something when she was on the show.
Baby!
You do that. Same.
She's got it.
She does.
She's a little firecracker. She is Leah Remini.
That's what you like about her.
Yeah, I know I do.
She's a pistol.
I really do. And just speculation. One man's thought.
Uh-huh.
I think she tried a little harder, frankly. I can picture Giselle Fernandez just laying there going,
I'm Giselle, look at me, I'm beautiful. You do all the work.
I could see Leah. Yeah. Like I haven't seen it already many times.
In your fantasy life.
Right.
Trying real hard to make sure you were happy.
Please me.
working her little derriere off just to make you happy.
I'd be wearing the same outfit I have on today, Mike. A couple of stupid Nike sweatshirts.
Wouldn't matter to her. She'd work extraordinarily hard for you. She would.
But she is a very nice lady. No doubt about that.
They're both two of the nicest people we've ever interviewed out there. And
funny as hell, I don't know how we lucked into with all the crappy shows that we've talked to people from. I don't know how we finally lucked into a show that people actually enjoy and is actually good.
And I hope their Christmas show kicks ass. I really do.
It will. Hope we're on the refrigerator, you know?
Yeah, she was teasing us a little bit with that one. And of course, you know, we're going to watch that show.
Right.
Pressed up against the screen. When are they going to the kitchen?
She played it like a violin. 88% of that show is done in the kitchen.
I hope so.
Except tonight, right?
Right. Tonight will be like a Jerry Stiller's hospital room.
All right. Please watch The King of Queens at 8:30 on your local CBS station. We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
You in the building?
Yeah, I just moved in Monday.
Oh. Do you like it so far?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's been real nice.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Oh. Mama.
Like watching a fly climbing up a grate. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you were very gracious to Miss Remini.
Yes.
But truth be told on who would you do between her and Giselle?
Yes. You would do
Giselle. Yeah.
It's okay. I'm not saying I wouldn't do her.
That's why I was quiet. And I would have been embarrassed at, but I feel the honor and the integrity of the Who Would You Do segment on this show. You just can't. Mm-hmm. You either say nothing.
You played it perfectly.
You can't lie. You
why
know?
Say something that would upset the beautiful Leah Remini?
That's right. Just say you're the Giselle, a thousand times Giselle. Taking nothing away from Ms. Remini, but with a strong memory of that one time that we had Giselle Fernandez on the show in Los Angeles when she was sitting there and you had the Johnny Carson set that you liked so much.
Oh, I love that. Where I was sitting at the desk and Mike had his couch.
Oh, man. And she was sitting next to me on the couch and it was just... It was delightful. Now, Mike chose Ginger over Marianne back in that debate, and I see a similarity here between Giselle Fernandez
yes,
and
Buzz,
that would be I go for the whore. Absolutely.
Well, I know.
Every time. Yes, the heavily made-up spandex
more
glamorous.
Well, it's true.
Thank you.
That's
more
a nice way of putting it.
I like the painted up look. I sure do, too. About this spandex.
Giselle is...
Yeah.
I
didn't
understand that you would do me over Leah Remini,
hey,
senor?
Thank you, yes, Giselle. Welcome. Welcome to the Americasa.
And Giselle Fernandez, she is a brick house.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that.
And I remember the Academy Awards show, I guess, when they did that special.
Oh, she was
Hollywood.
Falling out of her shirt that night.
Very glamorous. She was very, very glamorous. So many lovelies in Hollywood that we will never come anywhere near.
Right. But I got my dreams.
You do. And Julie, we were talking about Leah during the entire breakdown.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, would she? Yeah, she really would. Oh, yeah.
I really do think that. I think if you got the two of them in bed,
right,
separately, Giselle Fernandez and Leah Remini,
right,
who would try harder to please her man? Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I mean, seriously, Leah Remini, 1,000 times over.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think because Giselle has been at it a while, and she has a knowledge of her beauty, I believe. Mm-hmm. She struck me as that when we interviewed her, that she knew she was a hottie.
Right.
Whereas Leah probably knows she's a hottie, but she doesn't want to show that she knows she's a hottie.
Right, so she would
work hard.
She would do more stuff for you.
She'd work harder, probably, for your pleasure.
Whereas Giselle would probably expect you to do all the work.
I would, and I'd do so gladly.
I know you would. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hold on a second.
You know what? Something's wrong with these telephones.
Yeah.
Hold on just a second, please. Let's see. I just punched line 4. Star Trek guy calling back, line 4.
I hear a hissing sound.
I got nothing on there.
I hear a breathing sound. It's Don and Mike breathing heavily.
I got Dick. Well, all right, well, now line 4 is just lit up, and there's nobody on it. See, Rob, see on the handheld here? There's nothing on line 4.
Weird.
But right there, there's something. Hello?
Hey,
Don and Mike.
Your phone's working now.
Nope, not line 4. Line 4 okay, Robbie?
Weird as hell.
Who would you do, Robbie, Giselle or Leah?
Leah.
Yeah, Rob likes the performing element of Leah, right?
No, she'd try harder. But I'd have to do.
Plus, remember, I mean, you got to factor in when you're done.
Right.
Laying there. I mean, unless you just get up and leave.
Yeah, and you'd want somebody who could make conversation.
Someone to watch TV with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're done.
That'd be
and furthermore, which one of them would go down and make you a sandwich afterwards?
I'd make it for Giselle.
I'd make a peanut butter and banana sandwich for Giselle.
Who would you do, Bill?
Oh, definitely Leah. I'm more down to earth, like Marianne.
Sure.
Well, sometimes, you know, down to earth is good, but when you want to please a diva.
All I know is I could see her. I said, boy, I'm hungry. I'll go down and get you some cold chicken.
Weren't you guys all Marianne guys, too?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Rob, you were included in that, right?
No, I was Ginger.
Oh, you were a Ginger.
No,
man.
He wanted to do Professor.
This is Al.
This is Al.
That's right. You wanted Lovey.
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 Hello. Okay, what do you want? Hi.
Have you seen the new TV guys?
The new TV guys?
The new TV guide is, instead of a small book like TV Guide,
yeah,
my new TV guide is a large, like, cable book size magazine now.
You mean the brand name TV Guide?
Brand name TV Guide.
No, the newest one I got has those three girls.
The three girls, right.
From the Witch Show, and it's the normal small size.
And
are you sure it's the best happened? Or
I am so positive.
No chance that maybe you shrunk?
I don't think so.
Honey, I shrunk the listener.
No, I'm up here in Baltimore, and that was the new TV guide for sale.
You know what? You should. You know, this is just a quick check to see if you shrunk. Go down, go to the toilet, sit on it, and if you fall in, you'll know that
that's you and not the TV guide.
Land of the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they just did that for Baltimore.
It's
no offense, Baltimore.
Well, it's really bad because you know how they'll go across the page and they have, like, in the middle on the day, the whole chart of everything.
Where everybody in Baltimore is from. You know, you go to the refrigerator, you get something out, and you obviously find you have to, like, get on your tippy toes to reach the handle.
Well, I'm reaching the handle right now. I'm going to close it and open it.
I don't know. Like I said, maybe you got the special tard version. You know.
It doesn't sound very plausible. The TV guide has changed sizes.
TV guide for tards.
The super big. The one with the coloring book in the middle.
TV guide. Tard TV guide. Hello there, Donna Mike.
Yeah, hey, Donna Mike.
Hey, Maldi. Hey, hi.
Bill.
Hey, what? Sorry?
Hi, Donna Mike.
Yeah, turn your radio down, please.
Okay.
That sound was confusing me, man.
Oh, sorry. Hey, I wanted to comment about the Star Trek movie.
Yes.
What did you think about Donna Murphy, the girl that played Anish?
You mean that old bag that was attracted to Picard?
Yeah, I mean, throughout the whole movie, she's here running around with, you know, these, you know, THOs, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what the hell is that?
THOs, that's the first word you're going to say, that T word?
Like, T what? Yeah, T hard on.
She did not. Absolutely. Are you saying that she had erect nipples? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Right before they jump in.
Picard's nipples are harder than hers are.
Yes, they are.
Oh,
thank God for that.
I know you guys are talking about Data, too. I mean, holy cow, what was up with that?
Yeah, wild. I want to tell you, what was up with that?
That's wild. You ever go to the airport? Crazy. They got there and get your luggage. Wild.
That airline food.
the woman that's Picard's love interest plays a woman who, in the movie, is 300 years old. And for my money, she looks like she's 300 years old. Hello?
Counselor Areola.
Not in my show.
Hello, Don. How are you today?
Fine. I would have noticed that if that had been happening.
He said that there was cut glass there, but no.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Don't think so. Hello?
I wanted to confirm that Tard from Baltimore thing. I was at the store yesterday with my wife, and yes, we both said how big the new TV guide was.
I imagine that's a big story in Baltimore.
That was Lee's story in the Sun today, Mike.
All right, look at that, hon. The TV guide done grew.
Ravens lose. TV guide bigger.
Man, I tell you, two things I'm concerned about.
Marty Bass, still bald.
Will Cal be playing first base? Mm-hmm. And look inside the TV guide.
Hello.
Have a crib peek.
Not on my show.
John?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, this is Jim from Baltimore. I just wanted to confirm that the TV guide's on sale on the stands are very large, but get it delivered at home, it's still the right size.
Oh, okay. The magazine, the newsstand copies are large.
That's right.
Yes. Everywhere?
No, all these people calling are just from Baltimore,
that's
Mike.
Right.
Ah, just from Baltimore.
Me smell a trend.
Me smell a conspiracy.
Hello, Don of my show.
So, Don?
Yes, I am. Hello, and Mike.
How you doing, Don? Mike?
Great, thanks.
This is Ron from down St. Pete. I won your mortgage thing.
Oh, you're one of the people who won the rent mortgage last month.
Yeah, right. I wanted to thank you for it and wish you guys both a Merry Christmas.
Well, no, same to you, Ron. I'm glad that worked out. So
I can't hardly get through on you just lying very often, so whenever I got the chance, I wanted to let you know about it.
I remember you. Remember when I said, what is an old dude doing listening to our show?
I'm going
to
kick your ass.
Yeah, there you go. Good man.
I never did get some phone sex, though, from your girl there.
Oh, from Christine?
That's right.
Hey, Christine, pick up line 5, please, right now. Please pick it up. Line 5. Christine?
Hi.
Give this guy some phone sex. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
The TV guys. What do you care?
By the way, something.
Why do you care?
I'm just answering the call, sir. Don't kill the messenger.
You know, we have to respond to the issues of the day and things that are making people talk and things that are concerning and frightening people.
Everybody in Baltimore is very concerned and frightened, Mike.
Here I was, driving into my local convenience store. I look over to my magazine rack. The TV guy, it's about to eat me up. I was scared.
Hey, hon. How's Cal feel about that?
Here I am, popping open a natty boat, and I look over, the TV guy is the size of the whole inner harbor. No!
No!
No, hon!
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello there.
Is this the Don and Mike show?
Okay. When I say Don and Mike, hello, Don and Mike, you should be able to...
Unless
work that through, unless you're calling from Baltimore to tell us about the new larger TV guys.
We're nervously calling with a prank call.
Oh, I'm sorry. How are you guys doing today?
Fine.
I got ejected from your show on Wednesday, and I was wondering what I missed.
What do you mean you got ejected?
I got thrown out of the show.
You got thrown out of the show. What does that mean?
Oh, I know what he means. He means the live show that we did Wednesday night down at the Bayou, right?
Exactly.
Why did you get thrown out?
It's kind of a long story. I don't know if you want me to tell you, want me to say it on the internet.
Were you too young?
No.
Were you too drunk?
I was fairly drunk.
Uh-huh. Did you get into a fight?
No, I was...
Did you expose yourself?
I was in the bathroom. The ladies' bathroom.
All right.
Friend of mine. Goodbye.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi. Just FYI, I was in New York last week, and the TV guys are on sale there.
Oh, my God!
In magazine size.
They're everywhere.
No! Who is this?
Size Virginia.
Who is this? Saddam Hussein?
No.
I mean, they're over there too, the TV guys. Big TV guys.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, you were in New York.
Uh-huh.
And they had the large TV guys also?
Yeah, as well.
We can't ignore this incredible news story.
Well,
Mike, I find it
very bothersome.
I agree. I think you're being shortchanged.
What?
I think you're being shortchanged to the immediate action and get the regular size TV guys.
Immediate action, Mike.
Well, I just hope people are seeing these on newsstands and, for the love of God, not touching them.
Oh, God, my show.
Hi, Hon.
Hi. Hey, Hon.
How are you?
All afraid about those TV guys, Hon.
I had to call. I grew up in Pasadena, which is kind of a suburb of Baltimore.
Spent some many, many, many good hours there.
With Tiny
Tim and Tubby Boots.
Oh, my God. Cannot be worse than Pasadena. But anyway, I was laughing so hard when you were doing your Baltimore voice, I dropped my roast on the floor.
The roast? The roast is ruined, Hon.
So now it's ruined, and that was...
And Mike, the people that are eating that roast tonight, to them it will taste the same.
In the garbage.
Oh. That's right, hon. It's the best roast in town.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
We have to go OT tonight. You know why?
Why?
Look at this. Look how big the TV guide is, hon. Don't touch it, dude. Touch it. Your whole arm will fall off.
Hello.
Yeah, Don.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that one of the side effects of gonorrhea is that things look larger than normal.
Hey, you know, man, the whole town's got gonorrhea. Buzz, didn't you have a story saying that Baltimore was the number one sex disease city in America?
It's true. They're way up there.
That's right. So, I dated a lot of women. I slept with a whole bunch of them. I get a sexually transmitted disease, and the TV guy starts growing on. Oh, no. Then a woman dropped the roast on the floor.
Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi. Hi. California. The TV guys are still the same size.
Pick up, please. Oh. Pick up, please.
I'm here.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Bad.
Right. Pick up.
Yeah, I picked that.
Yeah. I just want to pick up so I can hang up on it. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, Dynamite. How you doing today?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm wondering, I remember when you guys, I guess when Mike used to do the imitation of the guy from L.A. Law, Lenny.
Larry Brent.
Benny. I hadn't heard that one in a long time. If he could pull that out of the archives sometimes, it almost wrecked my car.
We'll put you on hold and I'll be over your house about an hour after the show.
And then Dennis Murphy will come by to sell you one of his new CDs.
That's right. I might help Dennis out and actually bring one of those. And, in a bag sealed for my protection, I'll bring him one of the big copies of TV Guide.
Be careful there, Mike.
Hey, looking fat. Hey, the man made her drop the roaster. She has the best roaster around.
Oh. I was at Tolot Johnny's, and he said, did you see this TV guy? I said, that's so big, hon. Then she hung up on me. I said, Senator Mikulski, these TV guys are derailing. You've got to get back to town. Hello? Mayor Smoke?
Smoke's office.
Yes, we know about the large TV guys.
Why don't you just get a big old truck and power them all up in the middle of Memorial Stadium?
Mayor Smoke is aware of the TV guy problem. Put them all in a big stack on Television Hill. By Channel 13.
Put them in Morty Bass's car.
Hello.
Howdy, Horn.
Hey, Horn.
Doing?
Hi. Oh, we got to do a break because the guy's here to talk about Hanukkah. Yes, sir. Last call.
The TV guys in Baltimore, okay? Baltimore is a big test market for a lot of stuff. Did you guys know that?
Sure did, Horn.
That's right. Just last week. Last week, they were testing a new sort of chemical weapon in Baltimore.
And it works, Horn, because we're all getting smaller.
Remember when McDonald's came out with the McCrab cakes? They tested those in Baltimore.
I got the crab.
Hey, Horn. That's why we're the STD capital of the world, Horn. Because we all got the crabs.
And they're the best crabs in town.
All right,
good luck. All right, get off the road.
Let's clear these lines out right now. Take caller number 100.
All right. At 1-800-636-1067. We will give you something man-made from this planet and qualify you to win $5,000 that we are giving away on Friday's episode.
Hey, Albert Bell, welcome to town. Here's a TV guy. Oh, my God, it's huge.
Peter Angelos loves the new TV Guide. What does Art... What's that guy's name?
Art Donovan.
Art Donovan.
He's great, man. He used to play for the Colts.
F. Ursay.
He's dead now.
F. Ursay, did you see the new TV Guide?
It's huge. It's bigger than Raven Stadium, huh?
What about Boog
Powell? Hey, Boog's Barbecue. Watch out. The TV Guides are in the newsstand and they're coming your way.
Caller 100 right now. We'll qualify you to win $5,000 to pay off your Christmas credit card debt at 1-800-636-1067. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140. KHDK, Sacramento.
Be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a fire would be a fantastic touch because it was kind of cold
and gray
and misty,
mm-hmm,
and gray.
Mm-hmm.
So, the boys are coming over at 12 noon. Here's exactly what I did, and now we have pinpointed my mistake.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, this makes sense.
10 o'clock in the morning. I am free to come downstairs, open the flue.
Good.
In the fireplace. She puts her head in. She goes, it's open.
Great.
10 a.m., we get a fire going.
Yep.
Perfect. All I got to do now, when the boys come over,
mm-hmm,
I just keep adding logs.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
You're nice and toasty in the poker parlor.
So it's 10:30. And by now, I got a beautiful, a picture-perfect fire going.
Right.
Down in the basement. 11 o'clock, take a shower. 11:30,
mm-hmm,
setting out the ashtrays. I'm getting the cigars ready. I got the little mini refrigerator spot for the kind of beer you like and the kind of beer the junkies like. I got regular Pepsi for Buzz. I got Diet Pepsi for everybody else. I mean, I got it going on. I'm totally prepared.
Yep.
11:30, half hour till game time.
Mm-hmm.
Then I say, you know what? I need to add another log,
a big log.
And what I do is I go out back, and I get not a little log.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get
A Lincoln log.
Right. A big ass log.
A big log.
I get a huge, like a tree stump is what I get.
Mm-hmm.
So, I bring it in, and I go, you know what? Before I add that to the fire, I'm going to put another one of those little fire starter logs on.
I did not know. I didn't know that you threw that in there.
So
even though the fire was going, and it would have probably caught the log on fire.
Well, but I didn't know if it would or not, so I added now not one of those big fire starter logs, just one of the
a little stick of fuel,
a little mini one, like
right.
The size of a candy bar.
Okay.
But still, as I found out later,
mm-hmm.
still very volatile,
very powerful. All of those items,
yes,
what they have is they have fluid in them. They have liquid that burns. That's why they go so good.
So. I put in the extra little thing to make more fire.
Right.
And now they're just, the logs that my wife and I have already put in, they're nearly down to nothing.
Okay.
I go, beautiful. I got this big stump. I go, put it in, kind of roll it in.
Right.
Standing there just admiring my work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I fold my arms like this and I go, ha, I'm the man. I am the friggin' man. I got my buddies coming over to play cards.
Mm-hmm.
I got it going on, and all of a sudden I notice that there is smoke that is just billowing out of the front of the fireplace. I mean, worse than the last time. Just billowing out. So the first thing I do, because I don't want to get in trouble with my wife, first thing I do is I run outside. And now it's cloudy, so I can't tell if the smoke's coming out of the chimney or not, right? Keep in mind, he opened the flue.
Right. So you think everything's cool.
Flue was open.
Right.
Now I'm standing there going, well, it must be because I put the big log on and maybe the starter fire log, maybe that kind of broke and it's just caused a bigger fire.
There's too much fire for the fireplace.
So what I do is I think, well, I'll go in the other room and get, we got one of those big fans.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going in the other room, get the fan, I'll plug it in. By this time, there's just a little smoke in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I go in the basement, I get the fan, I come back. You cannot see the track lighting in the ceiling.
Oh, dear.
Because the smoke is so thick. And while I'm standing there flipping out about this, it's exactly at that moment that
right.
all over the house, I start hearing, bee, bee, bee. Every smoke alarm in the house is going off now.
Later on, I asked him, I said, how can your smoke detectors aren't going off because you've disabled all of them because they were all screaming at you, right?
Everyone.
Yeah,
I know that our smoke detectors work. So, they're going off all over the house. The dogs are barking. I go upstairs. My kid is studying his schoolwork. My wife is on the computer. I go upstairs and I go, it's happened again! It's happened again!
Smoke pouring into the house.
She goes, what? I said, I don't know. I was flabbergasted. I said, you opened the flue. I started the fire. It was a great fire, honey. It was a fabulous fire. All I did was put a log on, and now smoke everywhere. She goes, settle down. It can't be that bad.
Right.
Settle down. Don't worry about it. I'm positive. We checked it out.
No problem.
She comes down there. And I mean, not an exaggeration. That the smoke is absolutely black, and as was it, what's that, about 2 feet I'm holding my hands
yeah.
like that on the ceiling, just 2 feet of smoke. My son,
thick black smoke.
My son falls down to the ground and crawls out of the room.
A smart boy, right?
This is how bad it is.
Yeah.
Now, it's precisely at this time, Frida says, what did you do? I said, honey, I put a log in. It's right at this time I hear, Buzz is here. 20 minutes early.
Yeah.
Buzz Burbank.
Hi.
So
he wins the punctuality award, but we all compete for that.
Mm-hmm. I said to Bart, go get Buzz. Whatever you do, don't bring him down here. Right? Because mm-hmm. I'm still thinking that there's going to be some way that I'm going to save this without you guys finding out about
right.
it.
Right.
Right? But of course, what's the first thing Bart does? Brings him right down and goes, hey, Buzz is here.
Come on down and see the fire.
Now, at this point, fire's still going.
Right.
I've got the glass doors on the front of the fireplace closed.
I didn't know that it lasted this long. I didn't know that
oh.
it was simmering for this amount of time.
Yeah. Now, Buzz is standing there. Bless his heart. I said this about Buzz. Good friend. Trying to help.
I did try to help.
I'm standing there, and I said, I got the flue open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell this is. And Buzz starts saying, maybe there's something caught in there. Maybe there's a bird's nest in there. It's a
Santa Claus. Somebody
yeah.
said that. Was that you, Rob?
Yeah.
Said that?
Good. Now, keep in mind at this point, no one in the room, right now it's me, Buzz, Bart, and Frida.
Right.
Can't even open our eyes because there's so much smoke in there. At this point, Buzz says, oh, it's not that bad in here. It's not really that smoky in here. Well, then one by one, people start arriving. Next person to arrive, just my luck, it's Mike.
Mm-hmm. Don comes
Mike with the food.
Running out of the house. And almost, it was almost as though you were trying to block my way, because you stood up there, and I was confused momentarily, because you said, you put your hands up in the air.
You're the only guy that I didn't want to come over and see that I'd done this thing again.
You put your hands up in the air and said, we have a flu problem. And I'm like, oh, we have people with diarrhea and vomiting all over the house. I read that my first thing, I didn't even think flu. I said, oh, the fireplace flu. And that's when I walked in. And
you got a big smile on your face. Let me
go downstairs. And the smoke is like taking a journey up along the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And it is about 2-3 feet. Well, this time it's just all over the place.
Right. Now the fire's still going.
The whole house smells of smoke.
Now I'm saying to Frida, where is the fire extinguisher? Now, I've got Buzz and Mike standing in the dining room holding the sandwiches.
Did you notice my big idiot move when I went down to your fireplace? Feeling the top of the fireplace as though, you know, I was feeling like a fire inspector.
Smart.
It was cool. It was cool. It was not,
did no good, but you look like you knew what you were doing.
I feel like an idiot for not helping after I heard what the problem was.
There was nothing that, listen, there was nothing anybody could do.
I got a heat problem.
Yeah, because like the fire.
Metal items in the fireplace starting to melt at this point.
Once again, as you can see,
I witnessed
my hands.
I saw when you reached down.
Blistered.
To fully grab the handle of the fireplace insert and just went, ah!
And you know, Frida said to me, don't touch that. That's hot.
Right. It was hot. I mean, that was unbelievable.
Hot. And I said, honey, I got to open the doors up. If we're going to put the fire out, I got to open the doors up. I opened the doors up. Ow, 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 ow. So my hands are burning. We can't find the fire extinguisher. Now, by this point, Eric's come over. Johnny's come over.
Yeah, we're all there.
It's 20 minutes now. It's 12 noon. We're supposed to be starting a poker party.
Right.
But everybody is just standing around in my basement watching this fire burn uncontrollably.
Trying to figure out what's going to happen until your wife came to the rescue with the watering pail.
My wife comes down with the most retarded looking. It's a big water pail that she goes out and she waters her flowers with.
She had it full, though.
And it's like from Pee Wee's Playhouse, because it's real big, and it's got a million holes coming out of the head like a shower head.
Right.
Go away, Mr. Fire!
So she comes out and she goes, you open the doors? I go, yes, look, smoke is billowing out.
This is when I cringed, because I knew it was going to happen when she did this.
Yeah. She starts pouring the water on the fire, and now, worse than the smoke.
This is steam and smoke. Well, it is smoke, mostly. It's unbelievable.
So now everybody is like coughing, and everybody's standing outside, and we cannot see.
When she put the water on, although she had to do it, this is when it became unbelievable. I mean, this is when you wanted to get out of the room, because we were dealing with a health problem there.
So at this point, everybody goes upstairs, and me and Frida go downstairs.
Right.
Because now the fire is out. Now what we got to do is get the crap out of the fireplace and try to start ventilating the basement.
Mm-hmm.
She goes over with these big, like tongs that we have, these big like metal tongs that you use to take the wood out of the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
She goes over very expertly, picks up the piece, the huge tree stump that I put in there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like, because, you know, I see her arms shaking like this because she's
to maneuver that.
She's a girl, right? I'm much stronger than she is.
Right.
I am, guys. And she goes, she gets into the back porch. Ah, she puts it down. I said, honey, this is man's work.
Right.
Let me take the rest of the stuff out of there. Give me those tongs. She gives me the tongs. I go over. Now, all that's left in there, a couple little pieces of the other fire, and, of course, the massive fake thing. I mean, the thing that's like the size of the candy bar.
Right.
So what I do is, the thing, the fire starter thing, I go in with the tongs, and I very gingerly pick this thing up. And as I start walking towards the door, the thing falls and breaks because it's very pliable.
Crumbles,
right?
Yeah.
The thing crumbles. And all of a sudden,
it's like particle board and it's full of fuel.
Carpet on fire now.
Mm, well, that's because that thing's got all that, you know,
kerosene
in it or whatever they did.
Carpet on fire.
I didn't even know this. But we were upstairs having a very pleasant conversation while this was going on.
Now I'm doing this. Now I'm stepping on the phone. Carpet's on fire! Honey, carpet's on fire! Fake log post! Carpet's on fire!
Happy. I'm just lucky everybody lives through this.
She comes over with the water. This is all over the carpet.
All right.
I didn't even know that happened.
Now, fake log is out. Real log is out.
Smoke is still in house.
Smoke. Oh. The worst.
So your house still smell of smoke?
No, it finally didn't rise.
Good.
It took 2 days. So, what we decided to do,
But what we're going to do is move the card game upstairs temporarily.
Yeah, good move.
To the dining room. Mm-hmm. My wife goes downstairs and she's really pissed at me. Mm-hmm. She said, listen, I don't know what you did to F this up.
Right.
But we're going to find out what you did, and you're never allowed to do anything with the fireplace again. Go upstairs, play cards with your friends, and I'm going to try to clean up down here.
Oh, God, it was terrible. It really was.
I go upstairs, and everybody's having lunch. We haven't started playing cards yet. I feel guilty. I go back downstairs. I go, honey, please let me help. And by this time, the smoke has started to clear out a little bit. She goes, look, I just had new carpeting put in down here in the basement. Look what you did. And in the carpeting, there are these huge burn holes. I mean, big black charred spots.
Shouldn't have picked up the little doohickey with the tongs.
No, I shouldn't have. So finally, listen, everything was cool then.
Yeah, the smoke cleared out a little bit.
We aired it out as much as we could.
Right.
We played cards up in my dining room for about an hour. Then we moved it downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And although everybody, when they left my house at about 4 o'clock, reek of smoke.
You didn't notice it until you left. I didn't notice until I was standing in the mall next to a lady who was kind of looking at me. You know, like perhaps I was a chimney sweep.
It was pretty bad. I got some stares in the movies because
you can actually get inside your clothes. You don't know it. And, you know, what's the best thing to do? After you've got a smoke-filled room, then you bring the cigars out and light the cigars out. So you've got.
So we were all smoking cigars out of the six of us. Five of us were smoking cigars, so it was like
right.
The room was emptying out of all of the smoke that had been in the chimney, but now it was being filled up with the smoke from the cigars.
A lot of people normally have to go a good 3-4 years to get that many carcinogens, and I think we managed to do it in one afternoon.
So we had a great game of cards. We already told you about that. I was lucky enough to be the big winner. We had lots of fun. Everybody goofed on everybody.
Right.
About 4:15, my wife came downstairs and she says, listen, you know, we're going to go see the Star Trek movie. I mean, you know, our family's going to go, so everybody had to split.
Mm-hmm. Was I your buddy on that, incidentally? Was I the good wrangler when I was leaving as far as motivating
Absolutely.
Everybody to get going?
Absolutely.
I just knew that you said something like the movie time was 4:40 or something, some early time like that. So I'm like, oh, come on, little doggies, let's get going. Everybody out right now.
But you're fantastic. You did it much meaner than that. You said, Eric, time to leave. John, go. Buzz, see you later.
Let's go. Let's
get out of here.
These people have a movie to see. Well, you know, we've been in your home for over 4 hours,
right.
And that is your wife. Mm-hmm. Very nice, very understanding, and then it was time to go.
So we go to the movies, come back home. Not last night, Saturday night. Mm-hmm. She says, go down and clean up the mess. So I go down and she says, hold on, before you clean up the mess, let's figure out what happened.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was hard to... You couldn't examine what the flu situation was because it was so hot. You couldn't go near it. And the smoke, you just couldn't take care of that.
The flames were gigantic. The fireplace was about a million degrees again.
It was unbelievable, man.
Finally, we figured it out. When everything was fine, my wife opened the flu and we made the first fire. When I went and put the little log on,
right.
No problem there. Then when I took the giant stump and kind of... rolled it on top of the existing fire.
Mm-hmm.
When I kind of rolled it on its way in, it hit the flue.
Oh, the flue handle.
Oh, my. Which hangs down in the air, right?
That makes sense.
Right.
They're on a very precarious little hook system.
So that thing is hanging down. Like, you know, if you look in the back of somebody's throat.
Like a pallet?
Yeah, like
right.
That little thing in the back of your throat.
Mm.
Like, that thing's hanging down. I just tossed the log in, and when I did that, it hit that part of the flue, which... went and closed up,
right.
Which is why, all of a sudden, billowing smoke throughout the house.
You were about 8 feet away from the fireplace when you decided to throw the log in, right?
Yeah, I wasn't real close.
You're strong.
I made a little bit of a sporting event.
And it shut the flu, and then you're in the same situation.
The flu was closed, and then the house was full of smoke. And
it's like trying to get the ball in the clown's mouth at the end of miniature golf. That's the way you threw that log into the fire.
I can make it from right here.
It's all good.
Okay.
Done.
Problem solved.
Well, you know what you need to do.
It was very, very embarrassing. You know, it was very embarrassing because all of this was happening right as everybody was coming over for the big poker game, Jesus
Christ.
Well,
you looked a little freaked out and said, we got a flu problem. I was just relieved that there wasn't, a lot of illness in the house when I got there.
And you're right. You're the one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz, I don't care if he's easy like that. Rob, I don't care.
Right.
Johnny Cakes, E.B.
Came out like he was
bring it on. But I said, oh, my God. I swear, Jasper, this first thing I said, we got to get this cleaned up before Mike gets here.
And I mean, you know, I don't know why I feel that way.
I don't either.
I would have talked about it either way on the air, but it's
right,
like,
of course.
Of all the guys there,
you didn't want it to happen.
You didn't want it to happen twice,
and there it was. And hey, we played.
You're killing me.
We played our poker, and it worked out. It worked out fine.
That was fine.
And now you know your way around a fireplace.
I am never allowed. I'm never allowed to do anything with a fire again.
See, that's wrong. That's it. You should be allowed. You should be allowed so you know what's going on.
Oh, well, I don't want to now. Not until my fingers heal. Look at all the burns I got on the end of my fingers. I got a bunch of blisters on the end of my fingers.
Terrible. That got so hot so quick. Yeah. And but everybody was fine. No one was killed.
So that was a poker game. We sent all the other stuff with a poker game before.
Yeah. That's right. And everybody had a marvelous time.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah. Buzz is a bad dealer.
There's that. We're just kidding about that.
I know.
I mean, we're not kidding about it.
And you're right. I am a bad dealer.
Mm-hmm. More practice for me.
We got pissed before when we brought that up, so don't get pissed now.
Well, you said something about the money.
What about the money?
Well, you said something about the money earlier when you brought it up.
What did we bring up?
What about the money?
About the bad dealer, and then I won the pots at the end, the side bets at the end. Remember?
Yeah.
And you said something earlier about the money, and I said I would give the money back. That's what happened.
What?
It's not important. Everything's fine.
No, really. Come on. I'm not busting your chops now. We said that you got the palsy when you deal the cards. That you're a very bad dealer of the cards.
Right. We talked about that at the beginning of the show, and you're right. I agree with that. That's correct. I'm a poor dealer.
Oh, I know. And then I said you should give us the money back that you won
for slowing down the game. Right.
And I said,
he's absolutely right.
You should be happy to do that.
You should give every nickel back.
I will do that.
We'll wait during the commercial break to get every dime.
No.
And Buzz, I win the award for being the angriest at you sitting to your right. Mm-hmm. I was sitting to your immediate right, and I was probably, you know, that was during that 1.5 hour period of time that I was losing and looking for anyone to blame.
I understand.
What you do when you lose.
I understand.
For anyone to blame. But then I started winning, and life was good again.
Let me just tell you how the speed of the game moved.
Uh-huh.
And really, generally, this is how we very quickly. Here's the order. Here's how we're sitting around the table. Me,
right.
Rob, Johnny Cakes,
mm-hmm.
Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Four of us.
Like, bam, bam, bam.
I'm in.
Very
I'm
quick.
In. Mm-hmm. Then you got to the Speed Bump Brothers.
Yep.
Because it was Buzz, followed by
Eric Bickle, who seriously, I have played golf with EB, and he is now officially, I thought it was just on the golf course, he is officially the slowest man in the world.
So we figured out what we have to do the next time we play cards.
That's right.
Put you on one side of the table,
right.
And Eric on the other side.
Give you guys time, and that, well, they'll still have to deal at a certain point, but give you guys time to process whatever you're processing with two cards in Texas Hold'em.
Because that was...
Give your time to make the decision.
Eric would sit there and look at his cards.
Right.
And everybody at the whole table would bet. Then it would come to Eric and he'd go.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I mean, nuts.
Look at his cards. I wonder when Eric started talking in his high voice.
Oh, I'm getting lousy up in cards, too. I'm a big loser. I'm a big loser. I'm paying for you to go to the movies tonight. I fold. I quit.
I guess that's what everybody that plays cards with a regular group of people. You just got to deal with everybody else's style.
Sure.
Or lack thereof. So we all have to deal with. That's the way. But the good thing is people get better every time we play. Yeah. When we all first started, we were rookies, too.
Yeah.
And I missed the first game, so I'm a game behind everybody else.
Mm.
That's what I tell myself.
Okay, but yeah. Keep telling that to you. Well, it was a good game, and we next meet.
Yeah.
We next meet next month to
next
play
month.
A game.
Next month. And you don't always have to be the host, but if you like to, I think everybody likes to come on over to your pad to do that.
As long as I've lost my driver's license, it's going to have to be the host, unless somebody wants to come pick me up.
Okay, that answers that question. We'll see you at your house next month.
Be at my place. We'll be
right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. Sports 1140, KHDK, Sacramento Sports Station.
Yeah, just enough there.
There you go.
This number.
I'll call your mommy back later tonight.
Why? Hang up now.
And tell her that her son would like to have anal sex with America's favorite disc jockey.
There you go.
She'll be very proud. See how you
I
like
take
that.
It you were irritated at that call. That you didn't consider it a call of love.
No, it was not a true offer of homosexual sex money. It was a young man simply trying to work me. And not work me the right way. No, it was a serious offer, mind
That'd
you.
That'd be a different story.
Well, then, perhaps I would consider his offer.
Yes, it was that young way he had of speaking. It was an older guy calling, I really would like to bend you over the kitchen sink.
Did I, you know, flip a coin, let you know. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, how are Mike's feet today?
My feet?
Yeah.
My feet are wonderful today.
I'll tell you something about his feet. He's wearing a pair of, like, village people work boots today, so they gotta be hot in there.
No, actually, they're very cool, because my feet do not perspire, as we've discussed earlier on the show. These are desert-like boots that that don't cause a lot of overheating.
But they're lovely feet, right?
Those feet are drop-dead delicious.
Thank you, Rob.
Rubbing tomorrow at 2:30.
Yes, Rob will be rubbing them tomorrow at 2:30.
Did you know that? Did you know that Mike makes Rob rub his feet once a week before the show?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's wonderful. He does a great job, especially between the toes.
Hello, John. Oh, Mike.
Hello?
And then right after that, I get my neck rub, which is sometimes I go home and say, boy, wait.
It's like your hair smells off. I don't want in on this. Well, what would you like, Rob?
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Hello.
Feet to neck.
Uh-huh.
Mm, hello.
You figure it out. Hello there.
Hello.
Yeah,
Don and Mike.
Hey, I'm wondering if you got a question, if I could.
What?
I don't want to be perverted about this or anything, but I was wondering whether or not you guys have ever, or do you ever frequently take showers with your wives?
No, I don't. Do you, Mike? Not frequently, but I have. I would say, you know, definitely, once every year. Once or twice every year, probably. There's some circumstance that we'll hop in the shower. It's fun.
Yeah, okay. Well, the reason I was asking is...
I'm taking a shower with Buzz's wife.
Haven't
you taken a shower with Buzz's wife, Mike?
I took a shower with Buzz's wife when you were in there.
How about you, Rob? Are you taking a shower with Buzz's wife?
I took a shower with Buzz.
All right, going back to that.
Buzz obviously was all over the place.
Who was that, Mike? You said you showered with your wife?
Yes, I have.
Do you ever let her, wash crack or anything?
No.
No?
Okay. No, I don't.
Buzz is one of my wife.
Sick human being. You take a beautiful moment like a shower, and then it's immediately... Yeah, that's the first thing. Because I want it to be a wonderful experience, and I want to really turn her on. So the first thing I say is, wash my crack.
God, that is sick. Mm-hmm. We get no serious calls on this show.
We don't.
I can't get a man propositioning me who's serious, and you can't get a man asking you about taking a shower with your wife who's serious.
Just a beautiful moment.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
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 Hello, Tom. What do you want, Tom?
Hey, I'm not even near. I'm up on top of the roof.
I wish.
I'm on top of the roof, knucklehead.
I wish, you monster.
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
Who are you calling knucklehead?
Somebody else. I heard what you all said.
What was that, Tom?
I'm not right up on top of the thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not even near there.
All right, very good.
Good.
I'm not even near there.
Good, good, good. Like that. Make it a better show for us tonight, Tom.
You need to go to another location. Can you spell location for us?
No, I'm not going to spell location. I'll spell Christmas.
Must have it written down or something.
Get off my paper! Hey!
Monster on the loose.
Uh-oh.
I have glasses on my payphone.
Is that... What's going on there?
Hey, Mike! Hey, brother.
Tommy, you still there?
I am.
Yeah, spell Christmas.
C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S. If there's you there, the CDs go for $10.
Now spell Xmas.
What?